all of Barstool Sports will be relocating to Manhattan. We want to take it to the world. But we're trying to take this site and crank it the f*** up.
They've conquered the internet.
What an idiot.
And now Barstool takes over the SiriusXM airwaves.
There they go! What's gonna happen?
Real.
The Finer Things Club, the Scumbag Club.
You are cute. Are you married?
I'm married to the game.
Unfiltered.
Stop sending the dick pics.
Controversial.
You're a bum.
I believe we're funnier, smarter, better, prettier than everybody else who is stealing our shtick on the internet.
By the common man. For the common man. It's Barstool Radio.
What's up, you mutts? It's your boy KFC on a Monday morning. It's Barstool Radio coming to you live from Barstool HQ in the middle of Manhattan, New York. After what was a fiery week on these airwaves and a fiery weekend for America, Barstool's back. And I just want to say, once again, Barstool at the forefront of everything for telling it like it is, calling these pieces of shit what they are. Because I feel like my man Pat was kind of vindicated after everything that went down this weekend. The thought that he was catching heat on this show, what, like Thursday, maybe? Dave was in here like, you can't call these guys Nazis. And now I think the entire fucking world was calling them Nazis.
Dave went pretty hard on, you guys are Nazis the day after.
Yeah. You're a Nazi. So, you know, it's unfortunate. Well, obviously, I wish it wasn't the case, but.
Are you telling me the guys with swastikas tattooed on their chest are Nazis?
Who knew, man? Who knew? A lot of it's kind of one of those.
We think they may be Nazis.
If it walks like a Nazi and talks like a Nazi, no, I mean
steps like a goose.
That's your boy Rowan over there who's chiming in for Dave because No Days Off is off this week. So
all week.
Shout out to the No Days Off Days Off Vacation. And
he should get that sponsor next year for real. Dave goes on the No Days Off summer vacation,
dude. I mean, that'll be Portnoy's ultimate trick is getting his vacation sponsored, where he actually just gets paid to take time off.
Well, you know what's going on next week? Vegas,
baby,
yeah. Vegas all week. So he pretty much is getting paid to take
but,
a vacation.
No, but he's doing meetings. And he's,
what are you gonna do while we're in Vegas?
I'm gonna put my feet up, put my Reebok Classics up, and just chill.
Damn, you're going to be living.
Yo, sick. Having the middle of the day off, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's going to be great.
Take long lunches, boozy brunches, yeah. Just get lit up.
Absolutely. Dude, so obviously the story of the weekend was Charlottesville and all the horrific shit that went on there. So it's always a tough spot because we are really not trying to be political. And we're really not trying to sit here and be depressing. We want to kind of bring light to situations. But obviously sometimes there's not much to be said. But what went down with our boy Baked Farts, Alaska Cod, with the bear mace was some swift, sweet justice.
I didn't know there were levels to mace like that, but I'm glad he got hit with the
bear mace. Is there something next? Is there like moose mace? Is there dragon mace?
Yeah, Drogon mace.
Can I get some dragon mace next for these fucking guys? That dude getting fucking smoked in the face.
His boy was trying to say it was like some kind of chemical agent, so maybe it was worse than bear mace.
I hope
The guy who called in here, the guy Millennial Matt or whatever.
Mustachio Matt. He was there, that fucking loser.
He was trying to say like, you guys went beyond the pale and he might not ever be able to see again.
Good.
And that's the most ironic, beautiful thing of all.
I need
that the guy who is an alleged Nazi. Well,
he did not see that.
Yo,
coming.
Your boys. Yo, you guys came correct with the puns. You guys came ready for a Monday. Let's do it.
We're doing it.
Here's what I loved about Baked Alaska. It's all just jokes that you're willing to get your face melted off for. Just jokes, but you're willing to go down there and like lose your
classic
vision.
Prank.
That's how everybody jokes. Well, I know when I joke on Twitter, if someone said I'm gonna mace you with bear mace off of that joke, I'd be like, yeah, oh, I stand by this joke 100%. Kill me.
I'll go
rip my
down
eyes
with these
out.
Jokes.
Give me a fucking break. When he was moaning, give me more milk. Give me more milk. I need more milk.
Why is it white on his face? He looks like he's like going to like the beach or something. Like he put like
the zinc
on the nose. Like why is it white? Is that just the frothing mace on his face?
What are my people saying?
Dude,
that sucks.
That sucks. What are my followers saying?
His followers basically hit him with an aw damn. Like, oh man, that's unfortunate right there.
I don't know what was better, that or when I saw the pictures turn up from the rally, the Unite the Right or whatever the fuck it's called. and they all had the tiki torches, the legit tiki torches that your mom and dad have in their backyard after all the kids leave the house and it's an empty nest and they're trying to redo the landscaping in the backyard.
Unbelievable. The poor citronella.
Like straight citronella. There was no black people. There was no mosquitoes in sight. Nobody got bit that night.
Oh, my God.
The people from tiki torch.com, Tiki Torching Incorporated, whatever it is, released a statement being like, we do not condone. You know, if there was somebody sitting there from, like, the marketing department of Tiki Torch, who was like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
They probably got fired.
Right? Yeah, it's like their fault somehow. Yo, Saturday afternoon, you wake up, you got to be like, oh, we have to fucking...
What have we done?
We're all of a sudden united with the Nazi front.
The same thing happened with the Detroit Red Wings. The Nazi people just decided to use the Detroit Red Wings logo.
Fuck that.
The Detroit Red Wings are like, oh, damn.
Yo, that's unbelievable. Yo, for a group that's so, like, you can't say this about us and you can't represent us this way unless we explicitly say so and do certain things, to just be jacking logos?
Yeah, that's
get
not
your
right,
own logo.
They have one.
You already have one of the most recognizable logos. Your branding is
Frankie,
on point.
Frankie draws it all the time.
Frankie
loves
the swastika.
That logo.
Just rock with the swastika. It's been working for years.
Frankie swastika is hot on that logo, man.
He's nice with the pen.
We're not going to make this a thing.
Oh, it's going to be a thing. I will not stop until this is a thing, my friend.
That's a hard image to shade, too. You did a good job. To make it look
3D.
3D
was perfect.
Yeah. Swastika's not easy.
He's not even justified. So here's my, I guess, my thing with when it all comes down to, because we did have, you know, issues with Gay Pat saying what he said, and then Dave like kind of just doubled down on it, even though he was mad about it. And people are trying to say this is like, I don't think this is political. I think you're either like a scumbag or you're not, and I don't think that's crazy to say that. People were they dug up my tweets on Friday afternoon. The infamous ones about Jewish folks.
It doesn't look good for you.
Does not look good, but, and I will always wear that, but, like, anybody out there trying to compare me to Nazis, it's like, on some level, you need to have some contextual understanding of really what's going on here. Do they look bad? Yeah, sure. Am I literally, like, a Nazi who wants these people, like, murdered and oppressed and all this? Come on! Like, people! That is what I think actually lessens, you know, people, like, you can't call them that because, you know, it lessens what the real Nazis did. It's like, the nonsense that's going on Twitter is what's lessening. The fact these people, these guys represent and stand for or are at rallies with or appear with or whatever you want with any of that shit associated with real Nazis, I don't want to tiptoe around calling them that. We're back. We got Broadway Trent in the building. My man is a weathered, grizzled veteran New Yorker at this point.
I'm a New Yorker now.
When any time you go to Broadway, you know that you are the real deal. You pulled the complete weirdo move and you went by yourself.
No, it's not that weird.
It's that weird.
I'm getting
weird.
I'm getting a lot of blowback on that.
Yeah, because it's weird.
To start
weird.
From the beginning, so I've lived here like 6 months now, and I feel like I don't do any New York things. Because I think I'm paralyzed by how much stuff there is to do.
Right.
There's a lot of things going on. You know this. You lived here forever.
Yep. And that one time we went out, you lost your hat.
I did lose my hat. That was a tough look for going out and drinking when I lost my hat.
So you're like a tough
cab.
New York bird just like taking it off your head and flying away.
Elementary school kid.
It was around 3 o'clock. School just got out. It was a problem.
Yeah, that was a tough. So I stayed in my apartment for a long time after that. But then I decided to go to a Broadway show because our friend Frankie Borelli on our drive back from Avalon a couple weeks ago got me all gassed up about it. He told a great story about him and his girlfriend going to the Book of Mormon, this and that.
No, like, key word there, him and his girlfriend.
Well, yeah, so that's
they
true.
Went on separate occasions, I imagine.
That would have been the cool thing to do. So then he got me so excited about it, I went home that Sunday and bought a single ticket. And it was on Friday, and I went by myself.
Let me tell you something.
To the Book of Mormon, and it was a delight.
let me tell you something. If I drop $1 bazillion for me and my girl to go to see a Book of Mormon, and I sit down, and fucking Trent Solo is next to me, I'm calling an usher over here and being like, get this guy out of here.
Couple things. I most definitely sat next to a couple, and I did not dress up. I wore
shocking,
a bar stool pocket tee. Let me tell you this, Kevin. You are always complaining about how it sucks having a family and a couple of kids. It's great to do things by yourself.
No, I will say this much. What you just did in your station in life is completely socially unacceptable and weird. But I would do that shit in a heartbeat right now, man. I'll go on vacation by myself. I'll do anything by myself right now. But what you did is weird.
No, it's not.
Yeah, no, it
is. It was so much fun.
Caleb, would you do it?
Yeah, I would.
Rowan, would you do it? You would go solo? I mean, the two weirdest people I know. Coley, would you do it?
I've done, like, movies solo.
It's the same thing.
That's I've weird. Been to Broadway solo. You want to hear something weirder?
Oh,
I went to I just remembered this. I went to Broadway solo to a matinee and went and watched a drama. It wasn't even a musical.
And you were just sitting there all, like, somber.
It was a sad drama. Yeah. I walked out of there, and I was like,
damn.
Had me thinking.
It's a good time. I recommend it. I've actually got a lot of people reaching out to me being like, I'm going to start doing this now. This is like Riggs going to Scotland by himself. You just do shit by yourself. It's the best thing in the world.
Well, I don't necessarily argue that, but it's socially weird as fuck.
What do you mean?
Like, there's just social norms.
Grow some
you're not abiding by them. Yeah, abiding by them. Like, if you go talk to some girl now, you're like, I went to the Broadway by myself. She'd be like, you're weird. Whether she's right or wrong is irrelevant.
I don't know if you're right about that.
The weirdest.
You think that it plays because it's like.
It depends on how you pitch it. If you pitch it like, well, I couldn't find anyone to go with me, so right. I wanted to go with someone else.
Right,
but
if you're like, I needed to see this show, and I just like, I was independent, and I just got a ticket.
I didn't even
and...
ask anybody else to go with me. I didn't even venture down that path. I was just like, I'm going to buy a single ticket, didn't find it weird at all. Caleb was a little mad at me because I didn't ask him to go with me, but I mean.
Well, he was just swerving me all day, so I was trying to give him a hard time, but I'll swerve. I mean, this is a little bit different. A movie's different because it's not like a huge production of a normal date night or whatever, but like I'll try to swerve my own girl to go
solo.
And nothing against her. I just like to be at the, you can't talk to someone during a Broadway play.
It's wild. It's why it's the stupidest date, but it's why it's the best date, because you're like, oh, I'm going to take you here. I don't have to talk to you or impress you for 2.5 hours.
And then you have something to talk about after.
Right, right. That's why it's perfect. But what you don't like to go, like you want to be able to see what you want to see, and that's it?
I don't. There's no armrest situation. You don't have to spend as much. He's cut the cost in half.
I think sometimes it's like I just don't want someone else's opinion on something.
Yeah.
Fiscally,
can I tell you what I fucking
don't need that opinion.
What I fucking hate the most is when you walk out and you're just walking side by side, and then it's like, so what'd you think? Yeah. I fucking hate that question so
or
much.
There's no question. It's like, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Right. And it's just what you got to do, and it's a small talk you make afterwards, but it's just like, ah, don't.
I went to intern Rhea's house this weekend. She's in Long Island. It was me, Hank, her, and my girl, and we were watching Tropic Thunder.
Uh-huh.
And it was the first time I'd seen it. I'd never seen it. And so I was dying the whole movie. And then it's almost over. It's like the last scene. And then I'm like having a really good time. I'm into the movie. And then Rhea goes, is this almost over yet? And I was like
shut up.
You're ruining my vibe right now. Mm-hmm, like, I was really into this. That's why you can't go to Broadway with someone else.
Trent, did you get hammered at the show?
No, I only got a couple of drinks. I didn't want to, you know.
He's not an uncultured swine.
Yeah, I didn't want to be stumbling.
But like a
out
couple
of
drinks, like you could put the, because I went to Book of Mormon like 2 weeks before or 2 weeks ago.
Did you go by yourself?
I did not.
What a loser.
Rowan's like, I have people that love me and friends that like me. And,
but you could like double down on the wines. Like you can like put two wine. You can get like a double wine and then double fist a double wine.
Yeah.
And like you only have four drinks, but you just had eight drinks.
You live and you learn. Next time I go to Broadway, because I am doing this again. This is not going to stop. I'm going to go again. I'm going to double down on the wine.
Coley just said that you should go to a bunch of shows and give shitty reviews. Come back, expense it, and get shit-faced and give
Shitty Broadway reviews.
I don't hate that at all.
I don't even necessarily think you need to shit on them, but just like act real smug about it. Like,
yeah.
Like really like.
Like inside the actor's studio. Actually.
Right.
Well,
right.
That's the thing. When I wrote my blog once, I basically wrote all about what it was like going. And then when I got to the end, I was like, hey, Book of Mormon's pretty good. I'm, like, I'm not going to break any news there. Like, it'd be crazy if I was like, that show fucking sucks.
How much did it cost you?
$150.
Like
can't afford to have a girlfriend.
What's up?
Nosebleed shit or is it nice?
Nosebleed shit. Yeah. I could touch the back of the theater.
Yeah, I feel like Book of Mormon still goes hard.
Yeah. Is that did I get
I
ripped off?
I paid $169 and I like best seats in the house.
Rowan was like on stage. he was the understudy.
I've been had.
Trent bought him by a guy with a long trench coat.
Legit
just opened it.
The last like the least surprising thing in the world. The last person I would think who would be able to like go out there and get a good
price. It would have been surprising if I had said like $3,000 and it would have been like the fourth fucking seat.
It would not surprise me if Trent did not see Book of Mormon. He saw some other movie.
Remember that
movie.
Time I saw West Side Story in Cedar Rapids, Iowa?
Oh
that was a real thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Church. Yeah. It's like, I read the Book of Mormon at a Mormon church.
I will say this, and I forgot to put this in the blog. I was so mad that the best part of it was getting the playbill. Having the playbill is awesome.
Oh, my God. You're like a I'm going to punch you in your face. No, what the fuck does that mean?
It's like the program. It has playbill on it.
I know what literally what the playbill is. Why do you care about having it in your hands?
You become a different person. You become a higher class person holding a playbill. I rolled it up with slapping my knee with it when the funny parts were happening.
Look at me. I belong.
If I looked in the mirror, I'd be like, who the fuck is that guy? Yeah. That's what I – it was great.
Who is this cultured individual?
Why is he wearing a Barstool shirt?
There is some couple out there telling the same exact story, the opposite. And then he rolled up the playbill and was slapping his knee as the show started, trying to pretend that he's belong.
There was a couple next to me that definitely thought I was a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, of course, man. You do anything like this in life.
Did you have like the mini binoculars on a stick?
Oh no, I got to get that for the next time around. But the seats are so small that you're very you get to know the person next to you quite well.
Very intimate.
Bodied them for the armrest.
Hit the knees. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Hey buddy, I'm treating myself tonight. Those armrests are mine, motherfucker.
Hey, listen, I'm making steps as a human coming here by myself.
Yeah.
But I'm still my same old Trent. Give me that fucking armrest.
Yeah. I recommend going to the Broadway by yourself. It's the thing to do.
Did you consciously roll up the playbill?
No, it just happened. It just happened. At some point, I was fucking slapping my knee. Things happen so fast.
It's incredible to even be aware of that. That it's just that you were doing it.
I don't have my playbill with me. I'm surprised. I should carry that thing everywhere. But it is at my apartment, rolled up, like, and has creases in it because I was fucking going
laughing
crazy
so damn hard.
Oh yeah, a lot of laughs.
Did you scan the crowd and perhaps find a lady doing the same thing?
No, I wish I had.
Shocking. There was no females who were like, I'm going to go to Book of Mormon by myself, huh?
Well, yeah, those girls
it's
are idiots.
It's mysterious. It's like you're this rogue, like, artsy guy who's like isn't there for any pretense other than to just see the show. You're there, you're not there.
There's my guy, Roan. I would have never thought of that, but that's exactly what I'm going for.
You know what? It's like Game of Thrones and he's Reddit. Like, you're like, oh, now I figured it out.
I need a guide like Roan to, you know, spin this the right way.
I'm there for you, pal.
Thanks, buddy.
So you're going to run around town telling chicks now that this is your move?
Absolutely. Yeah. I put a fucking blog up about it. I've been tweeting about it all day.
Because it plays both ways. As Caleb said, it's kind of like intriguing if you spin it right. And also it's like, and I could use a date.
This is what you're going to need to do. Because Kevin's right. There's probably not a lot of single girls at the theater you can meet. But you need to go home and get your playbill.
Yeah.
And you need to walk downstairs and go into Matcha.
Yes.
And have the playbill
yes,
with
like
you.
Yes, like a place like that where there's overlap.
I've never seen so many. It's like a Orange Theory class.
Yeah.
In Matcha downstairs. So go into Matcha, take your playbill. Also, I always have to ask this question. Thoughts on Mormonism?
I mean, they come out looking real bad after that play. Real bad. Trey and Matt, they did a good job of fucking stripping that
thing. They scared
them? Big time. Big time. Nothing like the reaction of a crowd when people start swearing in a play. There's like a big, people are like, oh my God, is this okay? And then once they're like, it is, people have a lot of fun.
And that is Talking Theater with Big Daddy Trent.
That's right.
I love it.
When we come back, last segment of the day here on Barstool Radio, Rush 93.
It's Barstool Radio.
Tuesday afternoon at Barstool Radio HQ. Me, Coley Mick. We got Rome. We got CP. And Davey Page, who's still calling out sick because he got a bad haircut. That's when you know it's a bad look.
Sad.
When you're not even willing to come to work.
You just got
to
buzz it all off.
Right? Just start fresh.
Yeah.
Because that, whatever that was, not a good time to get the high and tight, Davey. Looking like you belong with Baked Alaska down in the south.
Wow.
All I had to do was go to my girl, too. Erica would have hooked it up.
Erica Nardini?
No.
Erica Fleischman, our girl.
Fleischman Salon. I don't know fucking where it is. I've just heard so much about Fleischman Salon.
He's got me wanting to get my
girl, right? Caleb's going to come with a high and tight, too. So your boy Tiger Woods, the toxicology is out. And it is not good, Roan.
I respect it.
Coley, drug guy, weed guy. There was, in fact, weed present in his body.
So they're a couple drugs and
they're
weed.
Also happen
they
to
really,
be.
Really emphasize the weed.
Of course they
did you guys notice that? It was like the Miami Herald tweeted. It was like, they had some drugs and weed.
It's crazy, man. On top of it was Vicodin. We all know that. Ambien. We all know that. Xanax. We all know that. And
don't put we all know that on everything.
Come on. You didn't know Vicodin?
Actually, no. I think I know Vicodin, yes.
Yeah. Vicodin's a painkiller. Yep. Xanax is the anti-anxiety, I guess.
Yeah.
Ambien sleep pills, sleep and pill. Then they got, and he had Dilaudid in his system.
What's that?
Which is some no fucking around painkillers. I don't even know if you can like get them. Like I think it's like post surgery.
Yeah, hydro.
It's like morphine.
Yeah, right. Hydrocodone would be like codeine. Hydromorphine, morphine would be like morphine.
Like it's when you know have major surgery.
Why do
like
you need
broke
two
your
pain
neck.
Pills?
I never wondered. Like I mean,
In pain.
I mean,
but why not just take a bunch of one?
I guess if you run out.
Okay.
That makes
sense. Yeah, I only got the loaded left.
He probably just
Dude,
found
let
it
me
in
tell
like
you
a
something.
Bag on in Subway.
I respect that too.
Listen, the way obviously like it's just in his system. So what I don't know, maybe you take Vicodin at 9 a.m. and you take your Ambien at 11 p.m. and it's not really, you know, but I'd be willing to bet your boy El Tigre was doing it all night long.
Hell yeah.
That shit is like you're lucky you woke up. Forget about you got in the car and we're driving. That's a cocktail that like he needs to be like fucking institutionalized.
I know
he's a danger to himself.
I know a Hawaiian battle rapper named Everybody Knows who used to crush a bunch of pills up in a bag and just like sniff
whatever it was.
Sniff the pills in the bag. And I kind of feel like that's what Tiger has to be doing.
A true cocktail.
How is he how do you like are you just taking like a couple of pills from this bottle, a couple of pills from that bottle? I feel like you have to just be jamming a bunch of shit together and wantonly shoving it into your body.
Unless it's like, I don't know, you wake up and he's got back pain, he takes Vicodin. At night it's worse, so he takes Dilaudid. Along the way, he's he's got all these mental issues, so he takes some Xanax, and at night I can't sleep. I have no idea how that all should or should not be spaced out.
Yeah.
But it is not a good report. For the crowd out
it's
there,
a bad
that was
report.
Like 0.0, he wasn't drinking, and you know, medication is different than drinking,
well, they're
and
right.
You're prescribed, and blah, 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 and they're kind of softening it. This is not a good report.
Hey, can you guys answer me something, though? If the toxicology report, that doesn't necessarily mean that he was on all
right,
of them at
that's
the time.
What I'm saying. Right, like it
right.
could
so
just
he
be
could
trace amounts.
I mean, like, he has a history of surgeries, and
correct.
He's probably addicted to painkillers, as most people that I've heard of that start painkillers end up getting addicted to them. Roan gave a crazy stat the other day on Young and Happy. What is it in Philadelphia right now?
Everywhere there's a huge
469,000 people in Philadelphia used opioids last year. A third of the population. 469,000 adults. How fucking crazy is
a
that?
A third.
That if you,
these
like,
are addicting.
And Xanax, I believe, is like the fourth most prescribed drug in America.
And he's
period.
Under so that, much that, pressure and stress. So
I feel like Xanax, like, I have trouble at work. I'm a golfer. I have trouble at work. I'm a fucking, you know, garbage man. Here you go. You know what I mean? It's like,
so
whatever.
Listen, he is probably addicted to painkillers. It's sad, but a lot of people are. So he's on painkillers. He's taking Xanax because he's under a lot of stress for whatever reason. He could have, I'm just doing best case scenario, smoked weed. 2 weeks
before,
ago,
right,
and then all of a sudden he takes Ambien at nighttime, and it's nighttime, right?
Yeah,
he's driving home, and all of a sudden it just.
My only thing, first of all, the Dilaudid is crazy. That's like
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, that's like it's
Wolf of Wall Street.
It kind of is. It's like that. I had it when I post surgery, like neck fusion, like fusing my vertebrae together type of shit, and it fucked me up. I had like a rash came out, and, like, my body, like, rejected
it. Why, because you were just itching the shit out of yourself?
It was, like welts. I don't know. It was just, like, the skin went, like,
gross.
A bad reaction to it.
Is that what happened to your face?
No fucking, it's no fucking joke. Got him!
Let's go. I love
your large mouth fucking idiot.
The fucking Coley-KFC rivalry that, like, is bubbling
I'll
underneath
tell you
the
what.
Surface is pretty fucking awesome.
I'll tell you, our chemistry's been budding, my friend. But after chemistry... It comes the real deal.
Yeah, the chemical reaction.
Yeah,
we're like very close pals. Like Kevin's probably like the person I talk to like the most outside of the office. So
yeah.
Fuck you, pal.
Yeah, you dick, son of a bitch.
I mean that's the thing. Weed's the only one of these I know like how long it stays in your system, and so like it makes Tiger less of a nerd that he's smoking. I appreciate that out of him.
Yeah.
The rest of the stuff, like Caleb was saying, could have been that day, could have been the day before. I really don't know how long it stays in your blood for. Like
yeah.
he could have done coke the day before. That would have been out of his blood.
Mm-hmm.
So like that doesn't show up.
Right. Of course. I mean that's why this is just one report. You don't really know exactly what it means for how impaired he was. But you see and hear how the cops were like, you know, this dude is
that could just be
so
Ambien by
it.
Itself.
Right.
Though. Like Ambien
right.
will fuck you up, and you can get that over the counter, can't you? Or do you have to be prescribed that?
You still need a prescription.
Okay.
But I think it's one of those things like doc, I can't sleep. Here you go.
Right.
One of my boys used to take Ambien the night before the game in college, and I can remember. Just because he was nervous and he wanted to make sure he got a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And I can remember one night we were in the middle of a conversation. He took it. We were in Virginia. We were about to play Virginia the next day. On Thursday Night Football, he takes the Ambien. We start. We're in the middle of a conversation watching Thursday Night Football, and he just falls asleep while he's talking. Well, in the middle of a sentence. I thought he was kidding.
Not even while someone else was talking?
Dude, no, while he was talking. He just like kind of, you know how you just lose a thought? He like lost a thought and then just nodded off.
And consciousness.
Like, okay.
Can you play the next day on Ambien? Like if you were on Ambien, I feel like
he balled.
Wake up groggy and shit, but.
Played great. It was a night game the next day.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had like entire conversations with people who are like, oh, I was on Ambien last night. I don't remember any of it.
Where you were on Ambien or they
were? No, they were like talking to me. What seemed fine, or maybe a little tired, maybe a little out of it, but not. I blacked out the whole fucking conversation.
Right?
What's worse, the fact that maybe at night Tiger's like, I don't know, put the kids to bed and I'm going to go fucking get loose at the local bar on Delauded and blah, blah, blah. Or like I just wake up and I do this cocktail of drugs all day long.
Then it's just like, oh, fuck, that's grim, bro. Like that sucks.
That's just life.
Yeah, like if you were winning golf tournaments and doing that, it's just like no one cares. But you're not. And if this is how you live, like, that's fucking...
I'm sure a lot of people would justify it, though, whether it's, like, I'm trying to win golf tournaments or I'm trying to, you know, just do your 9-to-5. I need this. You know, that's how it gets ugly.
It's more fun to be on some pills?
Dude, I mean, you think that this like, Tiger's, quote-unquote, street cred goes up from something like this?
Yes.
Coley.
Because of the weed or just in general, like, this guy fucks?
All of it. All these drugs are cool.
Yeah, like, the reaction, it's like Future. Yeah. He's going to hang out with Future.
All of these drugs are cool.
Yeah.
Like, Tyler, I don't know what people want.
What are loser drugs?
These are loser drugs.
No. Xanax is a loser drug since when?
No, listen. The way that he's taking, like,
these are down.
He's taking them because he needs them instead of...
He's taking them because he's a sad guy.
Got it.
Like,
I hear what you mean.
He's not like at a club in Atlanta, and then he gets pulled over on the way home from the club,
right,
and he's got
he's
like
just,
four
like,
girls
cruising around Jupiter, fucked up, like, oh, I wish I was good at golf still.
Yeah.
It's tragic.
It's super like, sad.
It's no doubt
looking
tragic.
Of course.
It's no doubt tragic, the circumstances, but the drugs themselves, if you're like, yo, I was partying on Vicodin, it's like in a rap song these days. It's not like...
The kids aren't like crushing Ambiens.
No.
Maybe they are. I don't know.
So what are loser drugs?
Yeah, I don't know if there's any loser drugs.
No one's like really going to bat for like straight heroin.
That's true.
That's like you're a junkie.
Meth's not in right now.
Loser drugs are junkie drugs.
Meth is out.
Meth and
crack.
Meth and
crack's
heroin.
Never
crack,
been a good
crack
look.
You're poor, so you're a loser.
Right.
So those are definitely the loser drugs.
I'm trying to think.
Everything else.
What's the fake weed that they sell, like, in stores.
K2.
Yeah, K2.
Fucking loser.
That is a loser drug.
You go into a bodega and you buy some of that shit.
That will kill you.
Yeah, you're also just a fucking loser.
And it's for weed. It's, like, for the mildest drug
go
guy.
Go get the weed.
Or like, go get a hard drug. Like, if you're going to be doing some stupid shit to your brain, like, you might as well go to outer space instead of, like, a mild weed high, or I'm going to go crazy.
That K2 shit's, like, closer to meth than it is weed.
It's synthetic for a reason. It's all fucking chemicals and shit. And then, of course, there's nitrous. We fuck hard with nitrous around here.
I smoke K2, though. I'll be honest. I smoke the synthetic weed.
Regularly?
I smoke synthetic weed, like, when
but
I was...
Wait. That's different. Like, there's synthetic weed, and then there's this shit. Isn't there two separate things?
Terrible. I don't know. There was like a fucking little like Indian like store. Where you go to and like you couldn't ask specifically for it, but it was like
that's
the spice
that
or whatever.
Yeah,
and it was garbage. But it was just like there was no. It was never like
oh my
crazy.
God, I'm gonna eat my face.
It was like I got more tired than like regular weed like way faster.
It wasn't that.
It's not sweet at all.
Tiger's like I ain't doing that. I'm just sticking to the like incredibly dangerous opioids. That's how Tiger does things. When we come back, we'll talk about stuffing dead bodies in offices in the MTA. It's Barstool Radio, Rush 93.
Snitch. Don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the handgun open up. No, don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't wanna see the automatic open up. No, don't let your mouth open up, cause you don't.
We're back and we are now joined by the one and only Nate Blogg.
Hello, Radioland.
Nate is here.
What's up?
Spider Monkey is bound to come out any minute. I wanted to have you in here to hash this out with Francis, because you got this new feud going. Spider Monkey had it again, kicking up dirt.
I'd like to say I'm very relaxed today.
You are.
Very relaxed. I feel good.
You got your hand above your head. You're leaning
head,
back.
I'm young and happy.
Don't put it down. Don't put your hand down.
Yeah, as soon as we said that, he changed poses.
That's the money pose.
I mean, that is a good pose, but I would prefer to have it down.
Okay. It's a test. It's a high T pose.
Okay, weirdo. So, last Friday, Francis was sneaking out the door, and you snapped a picture of him, and you tweeted it out with a timestamp on it. Yes.
Yes.
And you said what?
So, the backstory to that is Francis did about an hour stand-up comedy, and then told the entire office he was leaving, and then had Smitty take off his headphones and said, "Hey, when you're done working today, text me and let me know what you're doing tonight." And then he walked out the door at 2:42. So I snapped the picture because it was pretty funny that he did that whole rigmarole before leaving. And then I went over and showed Keith because it was like a funny snap. And I showed Smitty, and Smitty died laughing. He's like, "If you're not going to tweet that, I want to tweet it." And I was like, "Yeah, who cares? I might as well just go ahead and tweet it. Like, what difference does it make?
You can't let Smitty steal your likes.
We'll get, yeah, exactly. We'll get like
someone's going to get these retweets. It's going
to
be me.
We'll get like the classic overreaction. He'll like threaten like to bomb the office again. We'll all have a good chuckle, and then we'll move on with life. Well, what ended up happening was he texted me like 15 straight times, very upset with the picture. He said, "I made him look unprofessional for leaving early," to which I responded, "You made yourself look unprofessional by leaving early." And then
I love when Nate does his deposition voice.
Yeah, that's my
completely
lawyer voice.
Devoid of emotion.
And so he got quite upset with me, and I was like, "Francis, nobody cares when anybody comes, anybody goes. Like, that's not the issue. The issue is like you overreact."
It sounds like you care.
No, I come in at like 10:15 every day, and then I leave at whatever time.
I'll take the over.
10:15.
I will take the over.
No, I make sure, I have like a schedule now where.
Oh,
like,
do you? Because yeah. Well, that's a brand new schedule.
I get in at 10:12 every day, and so
every
anyway.
Day maybe for a week.
No, come on, Kevin.
I'm just saying. There's been plenty of 11 a.m.s where I'm like, is
no,
Nate
Dave got
today?
Dave got mad at me
right.
like 3 months ago, and I haven't
right.
been that late since.
Okay,
so But like the funny thing is like if Trent leaves at whatever time, nobody cares. Riggs leaves whatever, nobody cares. But he overreacts every single. He threatened to bomb us because someone said, "Hey, next job having sex last night."
Are you telling me that you're trolling Francis and you're just looking to stir him up?
Yeah, obviously. Like that's like the bit. And
I don't know if that's the bit. I feel like you are genuinely offended that he left early. I mean, this tweet does not sound like a bit.
No, but it was the whole. When
sometimes
he said,
I feel like Francis Barstool doesn't get how hard people worked to
right.
get us to HQ. I find leaving at 2:42 disrespectful.
When he did his stand-up comedy act and said, "Hey, when you're done working, let me know what you're doing tonight." That's
what do you mean his stand-up comedy act? Can you just explain?
He just does jokes for the entire office.
Kind of like he practices his act?
Yeah.
Yeah, he definitely runs material on people like all day long here. And it's very funny to see who gets sucked into it and who doesn't.
And you're saying that you were standing there or you witnessed him doing this for an hour that day?
Yeah, that might be an exaggeration, but it was for an extended amount
so
of time.
You don't feel like a little narc doing this?
No,
you
it's
think
for
it's just
the,
funny. It's a bit. It's a joke. It's a prank.
It's a bit because, like, nobody – like, that's why Smitty was like, "If you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it." Because, like, it's – like, the overreaction is always so funny where, like, you have to do it just for the reaction. It was too easy.
Let's take this call. As I say, Dame, he has a thought on this, and then I'm going to tell you why I think I'm Team Francis on this one.
Of course
Dame, what's up? What do you mean, of course I am? I don't fucking like Francis.
Hey, man, guys, love the show. I think it's totally justified that he narked on them, especially, you know, depending on what the level of animosity is there, because, like,
animosity.
If he hates them, then of course he's going to nark on them. But if he's cool with them, he's not going to say anything. So, I mean, if
that's actually,
you know,
a good point.
I
would not nark on, like, the guys I'm close with.
I don't think
you nark on the people you don't like.
I don't think it's narking, though.
Nate, Eric, how
Kevin,
is this not narking?
He told the entire
totally
office he was leaving.
You're
everybody
doing it to
knew.
Get a reaction.
You guys already have
you're
a level of Panama City.
You're doing
Anima
it to,
City.
To stir it up, and you're doing it to just see who's going to provoke him and do all that. So I totally think it's justified if you hate the guy and if you just don't respect him. Totally justified. If he's your boy, then you don't do it.
I don't hate him.
But
ringing endorsement.
But
I don't hate
I don't,
the person.
I don't hate him. He does his job. He does his job well. But when you do like the whole waka 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 and then leave at 2:42,
what did you just say? The waka waka waka.
He does
routine.
The waka 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 and then he.
Nate, this is why you will forever work here, dude. You will forever be here because you just drop shit like that. Ah, you're doing the waka waka again.
I mean, that's literally the best way to put it, though.
The waka waka.
What is the waka waka waka?
Yeah, explain the waka waka.
That's his stand-up comedy.
Yeah,
he does
like,
the waka
waka. No, like, give me an example. Like, what would Francis do?
I don't know. It's just what he does every day.
Frankie, what do you think of the waka waka?
I picture him up on the stage just flailing his
arms
around like Conor McGregor.
Waka waka. We're spiraling out of control. We're going to go to an early break here. I want to try to track down Ginger. This doesn't bode well for him that he's just nowhere to be found. Trying to make content here, bud. We'll be back, hopefully, with Francis versus Nate on Narkgate. Now I'm switching my mind back into freak mode. We're back here on Barstool Radio. Francis just strolled in with a matcha smoothie, which is like, you're coming to fight.
It's bad news for
Nate. You're coming to bring the noise. Get those headphones right. Francis, I kind of sandbagged both you guys today. I feel like we need to hash this out. Narkgate needs to be addressed because I could see it bubbling. Now, this is what I've tried to do recently. I've been trying to reach out to some of the newer people when I see things, that they're going through things, that I could maybe make better. Like, just being like, I saw that video.
Like you ruined Ron's joke?
Yeah, that was bad. only because now I know Frankie's Robbie's not a prank guy. That he's off the list.
I didn't know, but I just heard about that this weekend. That was a really good prank.
It would have been.
Yeah, except for
would have been
Kevin
if somebody
Narked
opened their
front.
What would have been a really good prank?
Big stupid fish mouth.
Yeah, big stupid fish mouth. Right. Anyway, I see when you guys these are those things. It's like a play fight that turns to a real fight with your brother, and all of a sudden you guys are punching each other in the face. Francis, you were leaving early. On a Friday.
I left at 2:42 p.m.
2:42. We have the timestamps. Nate's very proud of that one.
I was just happy that he said 42. If you said 45, I would take those 3 minutes back.
So then here's why I'm Team Francis. As I understand it, Francis, Nate reached out to you, correct?
Yeah.
And said what?
No, wait.
Didn't you say that that he Nate reached out and was kind of like,
yesterday.
Let's just be done. Oh, he tweeted at you. Let's be done with this.
So, all right. So here's what happened. So so I left early, but what people don't know is that I get in early.
Yeah. Francis is in with like me, basically.
I'm in with Keith and Kevin. I typically get in around 9, sometimes like 9:05. And Nate lives in Hoboken and gets in around
Hoboken, along with Animosity.
At earliest 10:15.
About 10:12, but
and then I think on that Friday you got in around like 11.
10:12.
No.
Take the same train every
day.
Well,
either
way. That's neither here nor there.
It is, Nate.
Oh.
Because I'm here an hour before you every single day of the week.
That adds up five hours a week.
So if you had stayed
you didn't hear the first part of this.
If you had stayed on Friday until 7:42 p.m., you and I would have equal amount of time spent at the office.
You didn't hear the first part of the segment, right? Like of the radio.
I don't have the free trial anymore.
I think that point stands.
Okay, well,
I think that matters, Nate. As the independent arbiter here, it matters.
Okay, well,
some people work like PMT works all night long. We work all morning long. It's
okay, which is why I said nobody really cares when anybody comes and goes.
Why would you do that?
It was okay. Please, inside voices. It was the what did I call it? Oh, the waka waka.
Yeah, you were doing the waka waka.
You were doing the waka waka, and then you let everybody.
What is the waka waka?
That's what you call your stand-up routine.
You're doing
when you're bullshitting with the office and kind of running your material on.
So
and working out jokes.
It was that, and then the, hey, I'm going home. Let me know what you're doing after you're working, and then leaving, like letting everybody know that you're leaving, and then leaving when everybody else was still working. It was like, oh, of course we're gonna snap.
Nate
this
thinks
picture.
You were grandstanding. You're leaving.
I wasn't
for the day.
Grandstanding, and I didn't do the stand-up that day. No, I did it the day before, and you were the one being like, that's not funny, yada, yada.
Your waka waka stinks.
Now you're like equivocating. You're mixing up the days.
That's hard. Mm.
And I wasn't like, goodbye, everyone. I said goodbye to Keith and the people that, like, you know, I get along with. Not to bring anyone else in here.
That's a different tale.
But I wasn't even the first person to leave.
I left.
Course, you can leave anytime you want. Anybody can leave anytime they want.
So I was like, oh, and then
first, you understand why it's funny, right? Is because you overreact to everything.
What's funny here is that you are the only one, based on your Twitter footprint following that whole thing, I didn't respond to you, who realized, I texted you, and I said, I texted you. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be on social media, like airing out my shit with you. That's petty. I find that ridiculous.
Francis, over here, question. You understand that I showed... Did you see stool scenes?
I mean, look, dude.
Did
you were
stool
much
scene?
More
did
shook
see,
over that whole
scenes?
Incident than I was.
Did you see stool scenes?
Answer
the question. Did you see stool scenes?
I don't watch stool scenes.
Okay. So if you saw in stool scenes, I showed the picture to Keith and Smitty, and we all had a nice laugh. And Smitty said, if you don't tweet that, I want to tweet it. Because we know that the overreaction is going to be so funny to the office that that's why I tweeted it, is because it's like... You're going to threaten to bomb us, and we'll
all laugh.
I've
given up on you, man. I've given up on you.
So you're just going to disregard what I'm saying.
To me, you're basically an intern.
Okay, that's great.
You suck at writing. You're not funny.
Here he goes.
I mean, like, I honestly, like, I made this vow to myself that I would rather make content than be content. And I think for you, your lifeblood is so, like... You need the soap opera in order to survive here. because your own content isn't good enough.
I have talked you out of quitting no fewer than five times.
Fine.
I've talked you out of quitting.
I've now settled
you
in.
You now use Barstool as a platform to improve your stand-up comedy career so you can slap Barstool on the poster so you can try to become a comedian so you don't have to work here.
I mean, Nate,
that's your life. My life is Barstool Sports. This is what I do.
Whatever, man.
You want to be a comedian. You don't want to work here. You've tried to quit five separate times that I've talked you out of doing. When you get so rattled by one tweet of you leaving at 2:42, that
I'm above
if
this.
I didn't,
I'm
are
done
you?
With this. I'm going back to work.
Okay, there he goes.
My idea backfired, Caleb. Thought we were gonna hash it out here.
He can't.
Thought we were
gonna
be okay.
A straight walkout by Francis.
That's
a walkout.
You got to think that we're closer to finishing it now than when we started.
Right? You got to hit rock bottom first.
I thought it was going to be pleasant.
It was the finger taps by Nate that almost put him. I think it was the finger taps.
Nate, you are the single most condescending person I've ever come across.
I mean,
I thought it was going to be that I've never seen. Over here, I'm talking inside voices.
Because
no.
He won't have a conversation.
Tap 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 tap. Oh man,
he wouldn't have a conversation.
You, I would murder you if this ever happened
Kevin,
to us.
I will the table on him.
I mean, I will.
He wouldn't
kill
have
you with
a conversation.
He had to leave to not.
He's above it.
To keep in.
To be fair, that was after he didn't do most of that until after Franz was like, "You're the worst writer here. You're an intern."
There are two sides of the story.
I was
sure.
trying to have a conversation with him about why that tweet was funny. If I didn't tweet it, Smitty was going to tweet it, and then what would the conversation be?
Yeah, like, no, I hear you. There, I mean, it is again. It's the I'm going to blow this office off. It's
we got funny interns.
It's the our interns are great. We got the best interns in the world.
I want to see the resolution of that conversation. I
didn't think
Francis
it would go down
back.
That path at all. He just starts like lashing out at me. I'm not gonna fire back,
Nate.
I Nate. Told you from the beginning. I'm very relaxed and happy today. I'm young
you
and happy
say,
today.
You say one thing and then you spider monkey another.
That who started that? Me or him?
Okay, here's what happened. You started.
Kevin did. Yeah. Coley just points right
Nate,
in Kevin's
Nate,
face.
Nate started it, and Francis
How?
Went over the top. Cause
today,
because you're kind of you're needling, you're a little
you're
weasel.
Needling him.
Today, yes, right now.
I was
see that right there. If you
I
did that
was
to me,
to
I
have,
would fucking I'm gonna rip your face off.
I was here to have a conversation about that tweet, and he's well, no, I was weighing it.
Oh I mean, my god,
that would drive me nuts. Would I let myself get to the point where I'm like, you're a terrible writer?
Just not
probably
sure.
not. I swear to God, I thought it was gonna go better because I was like,
I did too.
I was like, these guys gotta hash this out
Which
now.
Which is such a stupid issue. It's like not even. I don't even know how it escalated to this point.
I don't give a shit though, man. Coming early, you coming late. If you could get your job done in 1 hour, if Young and Happy is the number one podcast in the world, and you guys work 1 hour a fucking week, I wouldn't care.
Right.
So
it makes sense.
Everybody just handle your own shit. Stop worrying about other people's shit.
It was off your reaction,
Nate. That's such a weasel response.
It really is though.
Let's get some calls going for the second hour. Your reaction to Weaselgate, we'll call it now. Not even Narkgate. 646-627-8450.
You know I'm a Nate guy, but I think Francis came out looking better than that.
We'll find out what the popular opinion is next. Hour number two, Barstool Radio. Yeah, 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 Spider Monkey.
NFLSundayTicket.tv lets you follow your favorite team no matter where you live. You can watch every out-of-market NFL game every Sunday afternoon live on your favorite devices. Watch DirecTV Red Zone Channel plus DirecTV Fantasy Zone Channel with NFLSundayTicket.tv Max Premium Package. That's NFLSundayTicket.tv for a Max Premium Package. Stream NFL Sunday Ticket live with no satellite required. Listen, you can watch the NFL, the National Football League. Listen, you can stream on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, Apple TV, Roku, Chromecast, Smart TV, Samsung, laptops, smartphones, tablets, websites, MySpace, LinkedIn, anything that's on the internet or streams. You can watch it in a lake, a river, stream, anything. If you want to watch TV and you want to watch the NFL, if you like football and you're a man's man and a guy's guy and a football's guy's guy, then you'll watch NFL Sunday Ticket. TV. For over 20 years, DirecTV has been the exclusive home for NFL Sunday Ticket, the only way to get every live game every Sunday. And good news, with promo code PREZ at checkout, you're going to save 15%. That's P-R-E-S. You're going to save 15% on your NFL Sunday Ticket. To see if you're eligible, go online to NFLSundayTicket.tv and stream every NFL Sunday Ticket game this season to follow your favorite team no matter where you live. Use promo code PREZ at checkout.
to save 15%. Packages are also available for football fans in areas where DirecTV service is not available. I'm Caleb Presley, and that was your weekend update.
It's Barstool Radio.
It's your boy KFC. We got Coley Mick. We got Rowan. We got Caleb. We're here live, Barstool Radio in Manhattan.
Chip.
We got a list of topics here that our guys Frankie and Brendan always put together, and we got the phone lines open as usual, and we usually just kind of do our radio show. That's just how it goes. And then sometimes some behind-the-scenes shit happens, like yesterday with the Francis and Nate drama. And then sometimes the office itself provides us the content, and that is what happened today. Now, Young and Happy are here with me, of course. You guys were recording Young and Happy when this was all going down.
I feel a little bit out of the loop.
So we're going to loop you in. I don't even know how it started. Well, we'll begin with the porn lookalikes, because everybody here at Barstool and basically all of Twitter at this point knows YP's porn lookalike is El Nino El Pollo.
I believe his name is, from my friend Asa, Jordi El Nino Pollo.
Jordi,
who I think you've met.
I know Jordi.
Okay. You know him. So you're already
That's
in the mix.
That's my guy.
So you know exactly how much he looks like YP in that one video where he's getting manhandled by Phoenix Marie. Is, I honestly think it might be.
I know Phoenix Marie too.
Yeah. What, you personally know her?
Yeah. She no. offered me $50,000 to be in a. to get a dildo in my butt.
So
she
listen,
really did, though.
I said no.
That's for real?
Yeah.
When you guys were out in Vegas together?
No, that was a long time
I think
ago.
He had met her before.
So I mean,
then we met this guy too. That's I can't believe that's Jordi and Phoenix Marie.
Yo, you want to hear a funny story about Jordi? So we were in Vegas for the porn awards, and Ron and I were kind of just hanging out with Asa, and we ended up tailgating with her, not tailgating, but following her into the club, and we ended up spending the entire night with like Kieran Lee, Asa, Kira, Madison Ivy, like all the top names of porn. That was, we were just hanging out with them the entire night.
It was
long.
Them in the, it was one VIP section with all of them and us during Jumpsuit January.
Yeah, it was in Las Vegas. We were still wearing our jumpsuits, and so
it plays though. I feel like if it's like you're around a bunch of porn stars
in
jumpsuits,
and that
like,
fact
yeah.
that there were two of us in matching
yeah,
jumpsuits,
right,
really
right.
worked. It's like, what are these weirdos doing?
So super funny, but. So we were talking. So anyway, Jordi was there, and they were telling us stories. And apparently, that weekend of the Porn Awards, he got kicked out of his hotel two nights in a row, both for sexual
deviance.
And one then night later, he was like jerking off in the women's bathroom in
bro,
his hotel.
No, that was later that night. So even after they were telling us that story, at that same club, he got caught jerking off in the women's
That's
bathroom.
That's how El Pollo Nino rolls, dude. Come
he's
on.
He's the biggest sexual deviant. They said he gets hired because he looks like he's 12. Like
yeah.
when Asa's husband
he's actually old.
Introduced
it's
him
like
to
Milonakis.
Us, I thought it was their son. I really thought it was Asa and her husband's
That's
son.
That's your doppelganger, YP.
It really sucks that he's like 100 pounds.
He's 100 soaking wet. And
you guys are both diminutive little fellas.
Bro, if you've okay. never seen this
he's
video.
He's only 30 pounds up top, though.
So then YP comes out, and he's got a doppelganger of his own, which is spot on Dave Portnoy looking like he's fucking.
No, so when Coley, this was March 30th that he tweeted this, and it has like literally.
It's haunted you forever.
Probably at least every single week since then, it's like spurred up in some manner.
It's let me just say, it's very hard to have a porn doppelganger worse than yours. Like almost anybody, kind of like you said with Feidelberg, it's like they're going to be a generally a good-looking dude with a big dick. You have the only porn doppelganger where it's a video with a guy getting like femdommed and like
power bombed.
Yeah, listen, like, I didn't
fucking
direct
thrown
the porno.
To the yeah, third yeah. floor from the penthouse.
No, so then people DM'd me the Dave one. Which I think, listen, I'm the biggest GoPress Go guy. Me and Frankie, we would never, this is like not a negative thing. It's like, oh, only legends get compared to porno people.
Okay.
That's
all right. Spin zone over
yeah,
here.
Yeah. Spin zone
Put
now.
It on Twitter. It's on Barstool Radio.
Oh, of course.
Okay. So go over to Twitter at Barstool Radio for both of these lookalikes. Dave's is like, he's got the hunchback. He's got a little bit of a gut. And the it schnoz. Looks like he's winded as fuck. And so we found the video. So it's the still shots that really make it count. I mean,
oh
money
God.
Good, right? Money
Holy
good.
Fuck. No, but someone DM'd it to me, and I was like, I can't use this. Like, what am I going to do?
I mean, that's fucking Dave Portnoy, man. I mean, there was a brief moment where we were like, is this Dave's porn? Maybe this is just Dave Portnoy.
That's what I thought.
It's one of those generic, it says like, yeah. I mean, it just says like, fucking facial in a hotel. It's like, this is some amateur shit. Dave Portnoy has been on a tear. Maybe this is just Davey Page using a porn. I don't know. So. This whole debate started. We're on to porn. We're talking about porn, and I guess Francis basically announced how he's into the male porn stars. Like he focuses on the male porn stars when he's watching a video.
Where do you stand on this? No.
Caleb taking in that information.
Let me rephrase. I framed that wrong. Something came along where YP was in it too. YP liked his porn to have a guy with a small dick.
That's not what
and
I
all
said.
Of us
that
were
is
like,
what you said.
Fuck that.
That is not
I want a hammer involved.
No, they were talking about, oh, I need the guy to have like a big, huge dick. And I was like, why? Like, that just makes you feel like you have a tiny dick. Like, I feel like in the dick game, every inch you can get, quite literally, is in your favor. Like,
But we said, when you watch sports, you don't watch the WNBA to be like, I could ball with these chicks. I'm all right. You want to see the best of the best. You want to see people get dunked on. When I watch my porn, I want to see some chick get dunked on.
You want like an all-star game.
Exactly. Alley-oops. No defense. Let's
168
go.
168 points.
Exactly.
169 points, maybe.
That's what I'm talking about. That's the porn I want to watch. YP's like, I need the guy who's like pretty mediocre in the sack.
He's like
small
barely
dick.
Thrust. Yeah.
I think it's
you like
all...
watching college.
I didn't say
guy.
I like that. I said I'm not like out D2. Like these. The conversation was, oh, like they were talking about different guys' dicks. Francis literally knew which like direction a guy's penis sloped, and
he
I
did.
Was like,
he was like that guy. He slopes to the left. That's too much for me. I was like, yeah. Well, we're getting a little specific,
right? And
but
I was like, I'm just saying,
I would be lying if I said there wasn't a few dicks in the game that I'm like recognize that dick. Maybe I don't know the name. Maybe I can't pin it, but I'm like. Seen that dick many a time before.
There's one dude with like bullets tattooed across like his thigh. that dude was crushing it in the mid 2000s. Let me tell you, boy.
There was that golden run in the mid 2000s, man.
A lot of 3 o'clock appointments right after school.
How is Asa not here today?
Right. Maybe we have a call in for this one. Roan, where do you stand? You got. I mean,
which part? There's so much going on.
There's a lot
right
going
now.
On.
There's a lot to unpack
a lot to
right
soak
now.
In.
So I mean, Francis recognizing the more of like, can we hear maybe more about that?
We might. I mean, he was
Francis in here to because this is something that you definitely want to say
yourself.
Correct. I actually really did a very poor job of explaining it there, but there was absolutely a moment where he was like, "I'll tell you though, that Johnny Sins, he's a little too perfect for me." I was like, "Okay, we're getting a little wacky here,
know.
Francis."
Yeah, we need to hear more. We just need.
But Roan, you feel my point about like, oh, if some dude has a 14-inch dick, you're like, your first thought is, man, my dick's way smaller than that. You don't.
Yo,
I feel like you.
Would agree Francis with that. Just walked in with so much swagger. Every time he's been in here, it's been like a bloodbath. And now he's like, I'm here to talk about dicks, baby. Let's go. All right, we're gonna touch on that yet? No. We'll do a quick break. When we come back, we'll have Francis. Here in studio.
Francis is going
to
touch on the inverted dragon.
To touch on the inverted
He's
dragon.
He's going
to
touch on dicks
radio,
after the break.
My dick cost a late night fee. Yo dick got the HIV. My dick plays on the double feature screen. Yo dick went straight to DVD. My
dick. Yikes. Coming in hot with this song. HIV dicks, Frankie? Jesus Christ. Well, I guess we're coming in hot in general here. It's Barstool Radio. We're talking dicks. We're talking porn. And we got Francis in here. Francis, while being a straight man, might be the biggest male porn star fan on the planet Earth.
You know, look, It's just. I think there's a very clear like difference between a guy. I don't really know where I'm going here.
You had the break to think it over, and
I also have a hard time talking without the headphones on. I don't know why. I don't know.
Let me help you. Yeah. I think you just like a good dick in your porn, which is what I was saying.
It's more,
and
that
I think
you
take note of who it is and what they do.
Yeah, you get to a point where you've watched so much porn that like. That you just have to keep upping, like, the weirdness.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And, like, when I was young, I remember I could, like, open a Playboy magazine and, like, yeah. I was excited by that. And then it was like, you know, you go to lesbian porn and that. And now it's like, I need some depraved shit. You know what
Feinelberg
I mean?
Feinelberg always talks about you go down the rabbit hole. You start at something normal. Yeah. You click on 3 more videos and next thing you know, there's, like, girls getting drowned.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, that's pretty dark, Kevin. I don't know why you went there. But, yeah, like, nuns getting gangbanged by farm workers or something. I don't know. Whatever your cup of tea is. But
sound pretty specific.
Yeah, just off the top of the head, I don't know.
I'm just making
video.
Some stuff up here. I'm just going to throw some stuff against the wall.
Kevin likes drowning porn. I don't know. He's a father.
Hey, now, leave him out of this. Father of two. Hashtag miracle of life.
He wasn't watching the drowning porn.
So, yeah, I think it got a little specific out there.
Yeah,
but
well,
I think
we were
that's
talking
where it went.
Once I realized everyone was kind of on board and didn't think it was weird, I let the floodgates.
We were in the trust tree.
Yeah, I think we all have like. I'm not afraid to say that I have like male porn stars that I would prefer to see over other male porn
100%.
Stars.
100%. Yeah. 100%. It's just like anything else.
Yeah, and I also think like. You know, not all dicks are created equal in porn.
Definitely
like,
not.
You know, that's very important. And a flawed penis is very distracting and boner wilting.
It's something about the way he talks about it, like, so Francis, like, a flawed
so
penis.
It's very eloquent.
Well, we were talking about the guy that looked like Feidelberg, and the first thing I said, his name's like Levi Cash, I think. And
oh, you think?
I think so. What's his middle name?
I knew his name was Levi, but I didn't know what his last name was, and then someone else said Levi Cash because we searched it. But look, I have no shame admitting this stuff. Like, this is comfortable for me for once in here. But
Francis is in his element right now.
That guy I don't like because his dick is curved. Like, I don't mind curved north or south, but if it's curved east or west, that's weird for me. I don't like a left-right curve because it makes me think they need to, like,
south.
Come at it at a different
Shout
weird angle.
Dicky.
Yeah.
That is I don't know. That's weird.
Well, the point was.
I'm with you on this. Yeah. I'm with you on all this. I don't think I would really recognize the sloping, the curvature of a dick.
Oh, I can.
No. I mean, I would certainly notice it. It's there, and it's fucking I guess so. I would be like, I'm not going to click that again. Maybe. So,
I thought, like, sloping weird dicks like that was something from, like, porn stars putting, like, drugs in their dick. Is that a thing that just happens?
I think that's just a regular thing that happens.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think it's dick drugs.
Huh.
Frankie Borelli's got a friend who only watches lesbian porn because he thinks it's gay to look at anything else. And I was like, that guy's not gay. That guy is the gayest dude in the world.
Yeah, that is.
If you can't turn on a porn and watch it without being like, oh no, there's a dick, I might be gay, you are gay, dude. There's nothing wrong with that, but you're gay.
That dude might be a lesbian. he might be born.
Yo, lesbian porn is straight up for chicks and children, like you said, Francis.
Yeah, that's a guy that only that prefers to watch the WNBA over the NBA for whatever weird reasons. But, damn it, I wish I had
So let's
that.
Talk, Francis. Let's talk your top five favorite porno dicks, because
okay.
I know you got
them. I think I could do this, actually.
I think you could, too.
All right. So I think my number one, I've actually said this to Asa before, I like this guy named Mark Ashley. You guys know who that is?
No. And listen, if I don't know, it's a problem.
And
I feel like I know.
Yeah, one of the reasons I like him is that he has a great sense of humor. I do think that the like pre-sex banter and the like chemistry is really important to me.
Okay.
So I think the guy's weird and he's trying too hard. I don't like it. You know what I mean?
I'm all on board with the idea of the pre-sex.
Yeah.
Not for whether the dude is funny or not,
dude,
though.
Keith,
that's where you lost
you
it.
You watched the beginning where
the Waka. You love the Waka Waka.
Yeah, but that's why I loved the original MILF Hunter.
Yeah,
that
like
guy
that.
Was fucking hysterical.
He was. Now, but see, that's the thing. I turned on the MILF Hunter for a comedy value.
Yeah, exactly.
There was the one time he went like this.
He does the
pinwheel. Open the gate! And he smacked their ass on like a triple windmill. Yeah, that was unbelievable.
The
windmills. But I wasn't getting off to that.
No.
I was there for the
No,
I
mean, you watch that scene and then you start fast-forwarding a little bit. But it was like a web series. It was like good, genuine comedy.
It's
good
programming. They don't make them like they do anymore.
No.
They
and he was replaced by that guy I'm talking about, Levi Cash.
Yeah, that was bullshit.
And I was like, you've removed one of the hallmarks
you
of
can't,
porn.
You
yeah.
can't have a MILF Hunter replacement.
No.
That's it. That should have died with that guy. By the way, that dude, his name's Sean. He just chills in like the Florida Keys. I found him on Facebook like when Facebook was still a thing. Years ago, trying to
you
be like
MySpace.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, yo, do you want to try to like come on Barstool? I'll do like an interview, whatever it was, before podcast, before everything. And I think he wrote back something just like, man, I'm just like chilling in Florida with my girl, like I'm good, just like Jimmy Buffett shit, just like I'm out of the game.
I like it.
We can fast forward the rest of your top five. I think I don't know.
Well, I mean,
you
I want like
hear
to
hear.
I think it's fascinating
Mark,
to hear
Mark
his
Ashley,
reasoning.
Number two,
Mark Ashley. And then I like this guy. His name is J Mac. He's big. He's jacked. He does a lot of the 8th Street Latina stuff, some of the Cum Fiesta stuff, a lot of the Bang Bros. He's a big Bang Bros guy. He's cool. He just doesn't try too hard. I don't know. He's got a good body, you know. But I was saying to these guys, this guy Johnny Sins, like he's too perfect. I don't like him. He's like not fallible. He's just like, oh,
the robot.
Yeah. Although I was saying this earlier too, I have tried some of his workouts. He's got a workout series on YouTube. Got into that shit.
I mean, hey, if you want to look like someone, it's look like a porn.
There you go.
Porn star.
There you go. Yeah.
Number five?
Man, I now at this point, I can't really remember.
What about Kieran Lee?
You know, he's done too much porn.
Wow, that dick's washed up.
Yeah, it's $1 million insured penis.
Yeah,
wow.
It's like not for nothing. All the Brazzers stuff is overproduced for me. I don't like it. I like more of like the amateur
like
kind
gorilla
of like
marketing, just gorillas.
Fool me, you know, like let me fool me
you
into
like,
thinking it's like
you
real.
Want like
that's what I was she, saying
she,
about.
She leaves the socks on.
Yeah,
maybe like
walks
a cat,
into
a cat
the house.
Like jumps
what?
Across the bed.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying with that, with like the gigantic 14-inch dicks. I can't. It's like that's fake. That's like WWE shit.
So just to rewind real quick, or out there, YP was saying like he thought it was a little weird that we were having this conversation. Then he was like, the only guy I like is this guy Jordy El Nino Pollo.
No, I didn't.
And you
I
knew
never said
every
that.
Name in his name, like he's this Brazilian
Francis,
soccer player.
They tweet a picture saying I look like him, and I looked up who it was
okay.
to see if
but
I looked like
you,
him.
Is that your guy? That's the guy you
no,
like?
No, I don't watch that because. Then I just get pissed thinking about Coley, and then I can't do anything. I definitely don't look
I
at that guy.
I would prefer if all of you guys actually thought about me while you were watching.
Oh,
porn.
My God.
That's what I would
imagine.
I can't wait till your porn doppelganger comes out.
It's like Francis said. Sometimes when you get, you know, when you get down the rabbit hole, you got to think of all sorts of things to get you going.
No,
I picture
but,
that Coley Mick face. Let's yeah. go.
Do you see the point of what he's saying, though? When it's like
okay,
the overproduced.
I'm about to pretzel you, though. Because if you watch porn for like a reality feeling. Why don't you watch El Pollo Nino? Because you're just
oh,
like watching
like a
yourself.
POV thing? Because it's like, oh, this is me.
You're basically no. watching yourself. Why would you not?
Powerbomb. Yeah.
No, what he's saying is true. It's like if a chick has like giant like fake tits, it's like, oh, that's lame. Like you want to have some semblance of like this could happen in my life.
Yeah.
That's what I feel.
I think the advent of all the super HD porn and the like super high tech cameras, you started seeing like the surgery scars from breast augmentation.
And, like the
that's
the
fucking
acne
gross.
And
acne,
shit.
Like
yeah,
the
you zoom
stains.
Zoom out, yo, zoom out. I don't need that 4K.
Yeah,
we're good.
Yep,
yeah.
I don't need a 15-inch dick that's so fake. That's not ever gonna happen
Bro,
in my life.
Bro, the dicks
life.
Are not
that's
fake.
That's what I'm trying to say.
The dicks are real dicks. They're
you,
just big.
You like Mandingo?
Like that's the giant black.
Guys,
one.
I'm sending in an expert. Yeah.
We got an expert inch. Coming in.
And we
oh!
also know.
Gay Pat is in the building to talk about dicks. Of course we got to have Gay Pat in here. No
but
doubt.
But listen, I think that's a fair point. It's like, in my mind, the whole point of it is something that may happen in your life. I don't have a 14-inch dick. Spoiler alert. Just kidding. I'm being humble.
Pat, just a bunch of straight dudes talking dicks here.
I haven't heard any of the conversation, but Frankie goes, you might want to get in there.
It basically started with me fights Francis were saying how when we watch porn, the guy matters. Like, we want, like, a nice big dick.
You want a big dick.
Yeah, yeah.
Fights
yeah.
in the building.
And here comes, actually, the gay guy's here. Pat, you're out. Fight over again.
All the stars are coming out.
I was told we're talking dick.
Get over here. Get on one of these mic fights. There's varying degrees here. Right. I think I can certainly identify male porn stars. The dick absolutely matters. And then you go to Feidelberg, who's like just the same thing but a step further. And then Francis just listed his top five favorite dicks in porn. He's the other polar extreme.
Who'd you have? Who'd you have?
He said
Ashley.
Matt Ashley.
Mark.
What
Mark Ashley.
I don't know that one.
He's Canadian. He's great. He's Canadian.
He was talking about their performance pre-shooting?
I mean, any porn dick list that doesn't start with Danny D is just ridiculous.
But, dude, he's also a guy where I think he's done too much porn. He's like Kieran Lee to me. He's ubiquitous in porn.
His dick is washed up.
It doesn't – there's just, like, all the chemistry is lost because it's just another day at the office.
Francis, I think YP thinks that all of these giant dicks are fake, it sounds
right.
like.
YP's
Francis,
into small dicks.
Yeah, well, no, that's YP's take was that he wants it to be smaller because he doesn't want to be,
I
you
said,
know, he's insecure.
Relatable. Nope, I said I want it to have some semblance of reality so I can put in my brain that this could happen in my life. That convinces – it's more interesting to me.
He wants the reality aspect, so it's like give me an average dick. I said that's like WNBA. I want to see the NBA. I want to see people get dunked on. Give me that dick.
Yeah, no, you want the biggest dick possible in porn. You want a small dick
Francis,
in porn.
Francis will turn off a porn if the dick is curved. He's out on that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
with that. I'm about that. But yeah. It's got to be a pretty dick.
Yeah. It needs it's aesthetic.
Handsome dick. You want
it's
a
less
handsome
it's
dick.
Less about the size for me and it's more about the like the aesthetic of it.
Right.
Yeah. Straight, like I don't want a lot of weird veins. There was this guy that did Bang Bus or something.
Oh yeah, Nacho with the pearl in the
is
thing.
Is it Nacho?
Disgusting.
Yeah, he's got like
disgusting
a fucking oyster
I think,
in there.
I think
but
that
you know
dude's
that dick
dead
well.
What's his name?
That dude's dead?
I think he's dead.
No.
Yeah. Tommy Gunn was.
Hang on.
He
had back check if Nacho's really dead or alive.
Curved dick.
Yeah,
that was
like
too
Tommy
much.
Gunn.
He's super dead too.
Oh, what?
Yeah,
yo, you're telling me you're breaking me down right now. These are like
oh,
Nacho.
Porn stars die at a higher rate than wrestlers.
Like, yeah, no, it's true.
Porn stars die like
soldiers
every fucking day. They're just dropping dead from drug overdoses.
Nacho, the Bang Bus porn star, dead or alive. Done. We'll see what pops up.
I remember he got in huge trouble for like animal trafficking.
Oh, geez.
That was
yeah
the story. I think
yeah
you guys blogged it.
Yeah,
or
I blogged
so
that. That was
like, sneaking,
like 7 years ago. That was a long time.
Into the country.
He's either dead or he's off somewhere with Naomi Russell on an island.
I would say this. For me, it's not that like the dick is the most important thing. I would say that a bad dick can
ruin it. It's
for
make
me
or break
worse yeah than anything
right
else.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
Pat?
Do you look at the dick before you look at the vagina?
I guess it's what comes first in the video. I don't really know.
Ba-doom-tsh.
I don't like fast
you
forward
can catch
and be
it
like,
tonight
I need comedy my. Oh, man. Only the girl's naked. Where's the dick?
Only
I don't like.
Only
jump
a nice
to it
pussy, right?
You sound like Steve Carell in the 40-year-old
version
say,
that
talking
was like
about
the
touching boobs.
Awkward thing ever. Like, I need a nice pussy.
That back sand.
No, that girl clit.
Pussy.
Great clit, right?
Oh, nice vagina. You know, the lips and hanging out.
Oh, my God. All right. We're going to put an end to this before it spirals completely out of control, if
oh,
it hasn't
we're
already.
Still in control right now?
Yeah, if it hasn't already. We're going to go to break. Francis, somewhere on the Kinsey scale. I don't know where you fall, man.
Hey,
he'll be at Caroline's tonight. This is his big show. Sold out, so you can't even get tickets to it. But let us know how it goes, bro.
Come on. Let's talk about sex, baby.
We're back. It's Barstool Radio. A half hour in. Interesting show. Thoughts, Caleb?
Hey, I've been entertained this entire time.
Dude,
we got a lot of listeners who are listening at work who will regret it.
The scene here when the door just kept flying open and another person joined and another person joined.
It was
joined
like the Royal Rumble.
It was. It was like, who's coming down next? Who's the next contestant
like
on the
Bachelor
show?
Bachelor in Paradise.
What's funny about porn is it's something that like, it's probably one of the most, maybe the most consumed piece of media content.
Absolutely.
And people are coming in here and dying to talk about Game of Thrones, but you got to just keep to yourself what you watch on porn.
That's true.
And so whenever the topic comes up, people are hella ready to talk
dude
about it.
Dude, well, that's what's so funny. Throughout the years on KFC Radio, there'd be people like, they talk too much about sex or porn. I'm like, yo, it is probably the most universal thing of all time. So,
and hearing you, Feidelberg, and Francis talk about porn is like hearing like fucking NBA experts fucking break down game tape. Like, you guys are eloquent
that KG
and
show
well-versed.
Area 21.
It's like John Gruden at quarterback camp.
It is, bro. They break down that shit.
Well, obviously, we got to get the expert in the building here. Not in the building, but on the line now is Asa Akira, who has the most insight of all in this topic. So, Asa, this started at... What's up, girl? How you doing?
Hey, how are you? What are we talking about?
Okay, so this all started, I'll give you the quick rundown. There's a couple porn lookalikes in the office. Fights looks like Levi Cash. YP looks like El Pollo Nino.
Jordy El Nino.
Right,
yeah.
And then some unknown today looks a lot like Dave Portnoy. It's like it's just some amateur porn, and it looks like Dave like slumped over some chick with a hunchback. It might actually be Dave. So we were starting to talk about porn, and then... the discussion, the debate came up whether you look for, when you're a guy, does the dick in the porn matter? And let me tell you, Asa, it sounds like nobody's looking at you. It sounds like you're just like a side dish to the entree, which is the male porn star.
Is that true?
I mean, YP
Are
was
you
the...
Guys just looking at dicks?
Well, YP was the only guy who was like, I really want in my porn, I want it to be like a small dick because then it's realistic to me. The rest of us were like, we want to see that shit get laid down.
Yeah, I think most guys prefer big dicks in porn. That's what I found. Like, definitely the most sought after and, like, searched porn guys are the guys with big dicks. It's, like, a really specific thing. Like, I think the most popular penises are, like, the long, straight ones with, like, no distinct features.
Yeah, just a regular old big old dick. Do you get competitive? Are you, like... ever nervous if you're doing a scene with one of these guys who's got like a very good dick that you're like, shit, people are looking at that instead of me?
No.
I mean, I'm telling you, maybe you should, Asa. Maybe
well,
they
now,
should.
Maybe I am.
Yeah.
But didn't you do one with Mandingo? Is that true?
Yeah. I mean, was probably the most nervous.
People watch that for him.
Yeah. Like, yeah. People are not searching Asa. They're searching Mandingo.
I don't know. That's like a great collab.
That is a great collab. That's like Watch the Thrones. That was like right. Jay and Ye
it's
got
like
together.
A Drake and Future album.
Yeah, that was Asa and Mandingo getting together. That was a classic.
And you know what? He's like the nicest guy ever. Like, you wouldn't know it from his
There's
dick.
No
like,
reason for him to be
Why would he? Why would that guy not be nice?
He is still black in America. That's
well, funny. That's fine. But all he does is just fuck chicks and have an awesome dick. Of course he's happy.
But, you know, he's like... I don't know. He, like, has a normal job. He's just, like, a regular dude. Like
He's not a regular
what
dude.
What do you mean he has a normal job?
Like, he has a normal job Monday through Friday. He only shoots on the weekend.
Oh, what's his normal job? He's, like, a cashier somewhere? Like, working retail?
I don't want to, like, expose him or anything.
You don't
want
to dox him.
It's a very normal job.
All right. Thank you, girl. I appreciate the insight.
Okay. Bye.
Our next call right here. Rowan, you're going to want to get in on this. Everybody, we might have to call the whole office.
Is this Rico?
It's Stu. Finer. The living legend, Stu Finer, is on the line. Stu, what the fuck is up?
Listen, both of you guys are fucking psycho with this porn shit. Do you realize, first of all, 1984, I was in an overeaters outpatient program to lose weight. I was like 262 pounds, and I met Al Goldstein of Screw Magazine.
Okay.
So Al immediately loved me, fell in love with me. He got out of the program, and we both helped each other lose like 100 pounds each. So obviously, I met everybody in the 80s. I met Ron Jeremy, and I met everybody, and he wanted me to go into the porn business doing 900 numbers and sex phones, which at the time I wasn't married to my wife yet, but I've been going out with her since 1978. So I said, Sandy, Al wants us to go into the porn business. So on her birthday, he sent a limo into the city, into Long Island, picks us up. We go into the 21 Club, and he pays for breakfast for my wife, Sandy. Okay. Then he takes us to his 8,000-square-foot fucking apartment, which was the psycho thing ever. Then we meet with him. And then Sandy specifically says, Al, listen, my fucking husband cannot control himself. He's going to be fucking all the talent here, and we're going to be divorced. It's not fucking happening. So then Al says to Sandy, Sandy, listen, can I at least take him to the Playboy Mansion? Let him show him off. I want to show him off to you, Hefner. I love your husband. He really helped me lose weight. And my wife specifically said, listen, Al. What the fuck did you just not understand? My husband cannot keep his dick in his pants. P.S. He's not fucking going. So, A, that was my only shot of ever going to the Playboy Mansion through Al Goldstein. But, B, can I explain something about porn? When you guys are looking at cock and you're looking at dick, psychologically, that owns you. It makes you feel inadequate, insecure, and less than. Now, maybe because you guys are 25 years younger than me, you're much more secure because you grew up with porn, where I grew up fucking having to steal my father's Playboy under a special fucking box that he hid,
yep.
And then we whacked off. But be that as it may, for me personally, I think you're ruining America with what you're saying. All men should ever watch is women talking about how they can pleasure their clitoris, how they love getting their ass eaten, so that you're teaching the youth of America and you're not bringing it down so everybody feels insecure and inadequate. Because who the fuck wants to watch a guy with a 12-inch fucking dick hammer a girl where, first of all, totally fake, totally predetermined, and totally fraudulent. You feel less than, so you can never actually live up to that. Now, maybe you guys are more secure than me sexually, and you grew up in a much different era.
Stu, surprised, Stu. You, I think of all people, you're the most secure sexual dude in the world. I'm surprised you think about this at all.
Listen, I am, but I know the psychology because Al Goldstein of Screw Magazine
Goldstein.
And you, Hefner, taught it to me. They said, Stu, we have women who we treat like slaves, treat like sluts, treat like second-class citizens, demean them, put them in the fucking toilet, and make men feel inadequate that they can't do that to their women. So when they taught me that, I'm talking you, Hefner, taught me this, KFC. I'm talking Al Goldstein. When they made hundreds of millions of dollars, the minute they said that, porn turned me off forever. But what did not turn me off is when a woman is fingering herself and when a woman is talking being hot. And just like you said before, a woman talking about sex with their clothes on is absolutely the most exciting thing for me in the world. I could fucking come right in my fucking pants without touching myself. I could shoot a fucking load, and then 20 minutes later, I could shoot another one without touching me. But let's talk about something else, because I don't want to go strictly into porn, because I could talk all day about porn. And because I'm not jerking off anymore, I'd rather keep porn to just in my bedroom with my wife, because I'm only allowed to fuck her twice a week, and it's really compromising myself. But I ran 11 miles this morning. I ran it 11. In a 9-minute mile.
Whoa!
So I'm going after this fucking marathon. I really am.
You're looking good. You trimmed down a lot, Stu.
Well, I've gone from 223 to 176.
Damn, that's no joke.
Yeah, I wanted to run the marathon at 151, because that's my normal running rate, where I used to run 18 miles a day, 5 days a week from 1992 to 1997 at a 6:45 pace. And I'm a fucking hobbit. I mean, I haven't grown since seventh grade. I mean, where I buy my clothes is I go to where Wizard of Oz have their, like, clothes, and that's what I fucking buy. I'm 5'4¾". If I was 2 inches shorter when I was 262, I'd be perfectly round. But be that as it may, anyway. So here, let's get to my point of this conversation. And first of all, it's an honor, and I love you, and
thank
God
you,
bless
sir.
You. That's A.
Of course.
B. So everybody's watching me on Snapchat. I get almost 1 million views on Snapchat. I got over 14,000 people every day that watch 70 snaps a day. Not two, 70.
70.
They watch me take a shit. 70. But be that as it may. So this scumbag, lowlife cocksucker, John Rizzo, I did not know, first of all, he's an intern, because he was fraudulent from day one with me. He said he works for the Jets, and that's how he professed himself. He called me up and said, Stu, we want to sell you a Jet suite. We believe right now that our product is gutter bottom. It's like buying, let's say, AT&T at a dollar. It's like buying Microsoft at a dollar, and we're going to fly up. We can't go any lower. So because of that, Stu, we have tremendous inventory.
Stu, we got to land the plane here. What happened? Tell me. We got to go to break.
Okay, so anyway, I'm so sorry, KFC. So I go out to their place, they suck my cock, eat my fucking ass. So I am 99% ready to sign a deal for anywhere between $1.5 million to $2.5 million to take a suite for 10 years. They say to me when I first go out and they show me the suite, I say, what's being built here? And they go, well, Coldplay's playing here. Do you like Coldplay? I said, I fucking love Coldplay. They go, no problem. We're going to give you 2 to 4 seats in a suite. P.S. I leave there, and I'm waiting for contracts to be sent to me. I move money around. I have $100,000 ready to fucking spit to them the moment the contract comes, because I'm fucking in, because they gave me so many other perks. Do you have time for just one perk or no? Listen to this. Me and my father, on Friday, get in their private plane with the fucking team. We fly to Oakland.
We gotta go to break, bro. We're going to break. Keep the story going, because I want to hear
how
it finishes.
Keep talking over the break.
We'll be back. Barstool Radio, Rush 93. So you're on the plane with your father.
Okay, so listen to this. On Friday, me and my father, we pick any road game I want to go to. So they tell me I can go to the Oakland Raiders game. I'm like, fucking it.
BetDSI.com has been in business for over 20 years paying winners. It's an A-plus rated sports book review site that uses your sports knowledge to help you make extra cash. It has an easy to use mobile playing interface and where you can play to win and get paid. BetDSI offers odds on everything football, including live betting and props as games are in action. So you can do props as the games are in action. That's pretty freaking sweet. BetDSI offers odds on pretty much everything else too, including all major sports, politics, reality TV, pretty much everything. Use promo code DAVE25, that's DAVE25, to get a $25 free wager just for registering. If you decide to deposit, you will get a 200% bonus match on your money. I play there myself, and I recommend BetDSI if you want to add a little bit of excitement to the games you're watching. Once again, go to BetDSI.com and use promo code DAVE25 and get a free $25 wager on the house and get a 200% extra bonus when you deposit. That's pretty much all benefits, and that's pretty much what you're going to get if you use the promo code DAVE25 at BetDSI.com.
I don't give a fuck about money. Money doesn't mean nothing to you. You're a $100 million company. It doesn't mean nothing to me either. So anyway, so they embarrass me there. They embarrass me to my fucking father. And then there's like 40 other people. But here's this fucking scumbag John Rizzo intern.
Stu's still going.
When I first did the deal, The main thing I said is, hey, listen, John, your product is horseshit. If you win a game this year, it's only because you're a losing organization, because you might as well just mail the season in so you can get the Southern Cal quarterback. What the fuck? But anyway, they'll probably win four games and fucking cost themselves that fucking pick. But anyway, I said to him, what I want to do is I have 30 people in the suite. Every game, I want to give away 10 seats in the suite to the last row in the building. And you would have to either snap me or do a video of your greatest Jet moment. I said, that's the only way I'm coming out to MetLife Stadium. It took them 2 days to get back to me, and the guy said, I guarantee that'll happen. P.S., I get there. The moment I'm there...
Stu, what's up? It's Big Cat. What's going on, Uncle Stu?
Big Cat! Fucking Big Cat! What's going on, brother? When are you coming to my house?
I know.
Making my house beautiful. When are you coming?
I have to come. We gotta get a bus of all the Barstool guys come out for a little afternoon wiffle ball.
I'll send a helicopter. You could land in my house.
I saw the wiffle ball field. There's a pool. It's looking beautiful. I saw the bathroom they take a shit in with all the mirrors every day.
Big Cat, I rolled out $50,000 to make my house look perfect for you and only you. Because if you saw my Mount Rushmore, it's you, PFT, Dave Portnoy, KFC, and Hank. I bumped, by the way, I bumped Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Einstein, and Freud. So think about who I bumped for, you fucking guy.
Yes.
That's
love it.
That's what I'm talking about.
I love it.
Now, is Stu
Finer.
Is Hank a Jew?
No, he's not.
Okay, is KFC, are you a Jew?
No, sir.
No, he hates Jews.
Oh, okay, is Portnoy a Jew?
Yes, sir.
Is PFT a Jew?
No.
Okay, so it's two out of the five Jews. The Big Cat's a Jew, and Portnoy's a Jew, right?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a two-team Jew parlay. By the fucking parlay. I'm ready for that. But I bumped five of the greatest Jews ever for you guys. But anyway, if you can make it, you make it. If you can't, you can't.
No, we're going to make it. I got to make it.
I'll do anything.
Beautiful, Stu. Thank you for the invite. That's the living legend, Stu Finer. That was...
Stu's the best.
I mean, he just talked by his... Yeah, seriously...
That was incredible. That was beautiful.
The fact that he just talked all the way through that break.
He's the best.
Everybody walked out of the room, and he continued to just talk through that entire commercial break.
No prompt. I didn't have to like keep the conversation going.
No,
he just kept going.
That's why he is the source. That's why he's the man of electricity.
The only man more electric than Stu Finer is standing right behind me.
Come
Frank
on in,
Fleming.
Frank, take my seat.
Frank the Tank is here. He is the most. He is probably the most well-liked, beloved man on the internet. He is my brother in arms as a Mets fan as we suffer through this shitty season. And you are now something of a food connoisseur celebrity is what I'm going to tell you, Frank. So join us here. Sit on down. Hop in front of the mic. How we doing?
All right. Hold on. Let me just get settled here. Get my.
There you go. You got your camera. Over. You got your Mets gear on.
Oh, yeah. I'm heading right.
You're right from here going to the game?
Right, going to the game tonight.
In your seats?
Yeah, my regular seat.
Okay. You you got it all. You got your camera, you got your gear.
I got my ticket.
You got your ticket ready to go. You're still just getting through this season, huh? Because Mother's Day was it for me. I cancelled and I haven't really let them affect me since.
Oh, I'm miserable.
Yeah, you're miserable. I mean, we're all miserable. It's unbelievable. And nothing worse than this is gonna be a 4-game sweep and the Yankees are gonna.
Well, tonight it's Robert Gazelman who gazucks.
Got it. All right, so we have the Mets, obviously. But the food tweets, the pictures of your meals, something of a phenomenon. Would you not agree?
Yeah, some people just started asking, what do I eat? What do I eat? What do I eat? So when I go on a podcast, so when I do my Periscopes, so finally I said, okay, I'll show you what I eat. And everyone just loves them.
There seems to be no rhyme or reason to what you eat when you eat it. It's Thanksgiving in the middle of July. It's gravy for breakfast. Doesn't matter what. What time of day or what time of year the tank eats what
it
the tank wants to eat?
It takes quite an effort to reach 450 pounds.
You're committed to the game.
I mean, I have a 6X shirt. My waist size is 69, which is nice.
What a legend. And do you love anything in the world more than salt?
Salt makes the world go around.
Salt is you.
Salt of the earth.
You are true salt of the earth,
you know,
my friend.
When I get like aggravated or something like that, and I have a salt shaker by me. Sometimes I'll put some salt in my hand and just like lick it.
No way.
As like a coping device? As a
mechanism? A coping device.
When things get stressful, just a little bit of salt in the mouth.
Wow.
That is special right there. I'm gonna start you that Instagram page
And I want you. And I want you to just post your food there. And I swear to God, you're gonna get like 500,000 followers. People are just gonna love the tank meals.
You should start a restaurant. I see every single time I see whatever you're working with, I get so hungry. It's just like there's something gourmet about it.
You can name all the meals.
That's what I'm saying. When you describe,
and the funny thing is, I'm not that. I have like a rotation. I don't eat that many different things. I have my hamburger helper, which I have to eat like which I eat every other couple of weeks. I have.
There's something you do with
hot
the hamburger
dogs often.
Ugh. It like makes
you always
more
got
than
a nice soda, nice Mountain
Dew.
Yeah,
you have you're a big soda guy. I'm with you on that.
Here's what I do to make hamburger helper extra special.
Let's go.
I put two bouillon. I put two bouillon cubes in at the start.
Okay.
I add a little extra milk to the recipe instead of cup and a half. I put like maybe a cup and three quarters. And the key is the last ingredient after it's boiled a little bit and just for the last 5 minutes of simmering. Some gravy master.
Ooh, you ain't driving. Go ahead. Pour it in there.
God, hell yeah.
I love it. Have a couple.
And that's gravy what makes master. It extra special. It has that extra zip, the extra zing.
All right, right now, marry, fuck, kill. You know how that works? You have to pick one thing you want to marry, one thing you get to fuck one time, one thing you have to kill. Soda, salt, gravy.
Ooh, tough.
Marry soda.
Really?
That means you got to kill one of salt or gravy.
You got to kill gravy, man.
Fuck gravy and kill salt.
Wow! Oh! You heard it here first on Barstool Radio Airways. Frank the Tank just killed salt. Frank the Tank just killed salt.
Holy shit.
Or can you believe it? He fucked gravy and he killed salt.
Fuck.
I do not believe what I just heard.
I bet you won't put that in stool scenes.
Well, I mean, that's unprecedented. Do you believe in miracles? I never thought I would hear the day that Frank the Tank kills salt.
God. R.I.P.
But the good thing is that there's plenty of salt in gravy, so.
You don't have to worry about it.
True, true.
You don't have to worry about
it. Siphon the salt out of the gravy.
Rest of the season, final count on win total.
Sing it.
Sing us out.
11. Oh, 11 alive. The Mets are dead on arrival, and that's all to win the rest of the season is 11. 11 alive.
Beautiful, Frank. Thank you for coming through. Enjoy yourself tonight in the game. We'll be back for hour number two of Barstool Radio on Rush 93. My thing is just like, you have to know you can't get away with that. And I do think on some level, everybody who's like, you're making it racial, like you're the most white privileged people of all time. They're like, Jesus and Miro watched that and they were like, this is so racist.
Yeah.
And then did you hear their shout out to us?
Like if Barstool was saying
yeah,
it's racist.
Yeah, they were like, this was so racist, even Barstool was like, nah, we're getting
so, it happened
no.
During...
No. Sound the alarm. It's Rico Bosco.
He's on. Come on, Rico.
Rico.
Hello.
Rico, I thought you were done with us. I thought you had moved on to a new life.
Let's make one thing clear. Number one, you're still dead to me. B, it's not fair to the listeners.
Are you talking to us
me.
Through a Ouija board?
Because, number four, it is Hunker Bunker Weekend, live performances by Louis DeVito and Jaina.
Still gotta pay the bills.
Life. Tomorrow is Cowgirls and Cowboys. And number six, you want to hang up on me? This is me hanging up on you. You're still dead to me. Everybody go to DJ. It's not fair to the listeners that they don't.
Hang up, Frankie. Hang up on him.
Cowgirls, Hunker
hang up. Hang
Bunker.
Up
on him.
We hung up
nobody,
on you.
Nobody
hangs
up on
Barstool Radio.
Nobody hangs up on me on my own show.
If we ain't going to Hunker Bunker Weekend.
Fuck DJs.
Screw Hunker Bunker Weekend.
Yo, that's so funny. What you said is so true. You still got to pay the bills. Rico's yeah. retired. He's got to move on. He's
done
like,
with you, but yo,
he's
I got
like,
these
wait
ads,
a minute.
Bro.
Yeah, I need a couple hundred bucks in my pocket here on the DJ Street team. I got to plug this this like car dealership off the turnpike.
And it's Hunker
maybe
Bunker
I'll come
weekend.
Out of retirement.
The fuck is
shout out to Rico Bosco.
I want to be on his bad side.
That was his shortest retirement ever, I think. Usually he disappears for at least like a couple months. That was like a week.
Still summertime down at.
As long as pre-sold the ads.
As long as DJ. Yeah,
yeah,
seriously.
The ones man. when he hung up on us last time, he'd have to get
he'd
those
have to get
ones
those
off.
Yeah.
He might have pre-recorded that call.
Well, that's why he was so mad last time that he didn't get on because he had to do those ads. He had to get the cash.
Shout out to Rico. You weird son of a bitch. Frankie, drop his music once again. We're going to take you out, end our show today with a little Rico Bosco serenading you. Happy Wednesday. We'll catch you guys tomorrow, Thursday. Barstool Radio, Rush 93. Nikolai Coaster Waldo is in the building. You know him as Jamie Lannister, the Kingslayer. My man, your name is a mouthful.
I know.
Can we just have like a stage name? Nick Coaster? Nicky Coaster?
Nick Costner.
Costner. Okay, done. There you
Let's
go.
Let's put the N in there.
Okay, you know. Perfect.
trying to piggyback on Kevin?
Exactly. Why not? Actually, there was a, like, for Shark Caller, the movie, that there was the first one international poster came out from, I don't know, South America, and it had Nikolai Costner.
Walter. Oh, did it?
Yeah. I think they tried to.
Run with it. Whatever, right?
Kevin's brother, yeah.
Shot Caller is one badass movie.
Yeah, yeah, it's
Which
it's
is,
cool.
Listen, I'll be perfectly honest. When we have people like you come through, obviously people want to talk about Game of Thrones. They want to talk about whatever you're most known for. But you're always, you know, working on a new project and promoting that, and we're always kind of like, I guess we got to talk about that. Shot Caller, I'm here for it. I'm cool. Here to talk about it. That movie looks awesome.
Yeah,
that is some badass stuff. Kind of a departure, I guess, from Game of Thrones. It's kind of out of this fantasy world and into really hardcore reality, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like, you know, were you worried about maybe being typecast or anything like that?
No. I mean, listen,
break out of it?
I mean, I'm old. I've been doing this for 25 years. I mean, I would say Game of Thrones is the odd one out. I mean, I most of the things I do are more contemporary and, you know. And Shot Caller, what I loved about it when I read the script, of course, was it was one of those stories you go, oh, it could happen to me. I mean, we don't want to admit it, but I know that I've tried to have a glass of wine and maybe two glasses of wine, and I still got behind the wheel of my car, which I shouldn't, and I will never do it again, but you shouldn't. But that's what this guy does. He's out with his friends, and he runs a red light, and he crashes the car, and his friend is killed. And because he's over the limit, he's put away for involuntary manslaughter. And then he's a nonviolent offender, and he's suddenly thrown into prison with these very violent offenders. And then you just have to, either you're going to be a victim or you're going to be, I mean, you have to make that choice. And then, of course, he decides to, as I like to say, shake hands with the devil. And then,
yeah, he goes all in. You go all in on that life.
Yeah, the devil won't let go. And he keeps thinking, like, I'll just, you know, we all know those things. You know, I'm just going to do this. I'll do this and I'll get through this and then I'll get out.
Right.
Because for him, it's just 18 months. He just has to get through this. And he'll do whatever it takes. He has to get back to his family. But it's not that simple.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, the physical transformation, you go in looking like, you know, normal guy.
Yeah,
and you
normal
come out,
guy.
The hair slicked back, the Fu Manchu, like, tatted up. It's. I mean, the difference between the beginning and the end, you can really see how much that character changes.
Anytime you get white pride tattooed on your back, like, you're about that life now. You're
no, but that's
really
the thing.
Sticking with it.
And, you know, and it's funny, I met a guy, Shot Caller means the guy who has the, like, they say the keys to the yard, who runs the gang. Because inside, it's all divided up by race, and they have these various gangs. And, of course, the white gangs are these white supremacists, or, you know, at the top of that list is the Aryan Brotherhood. Really nasty people. So I met a guy who'd been a shot caller, and he had a similar journey. He came in 19 years old, nonviolent. He'd done a lot of stupid stuff, and stole shit,
Say whatever you want.
But he was nonviolent, and he comes into this prison, and then it's really a question, you better get violent. And then you can't, you know, because fear will basically eat your soul up, right? And you go into prison, everyone's terrified all the time. And when you're afraid, you can do crazy stuff, right?
Well, it kind of did remind me of your, while it was a departure in terms of genre, it sort of reminded me of your Jamie Lannister character, and both of them, it was very much about, like, the transformation.
Yeah.
So when you're playing, you know, flashes back right away at the start of the movie, when you're playing this guy who 10 years later is this wildly different person, as an actor, do you think of them as...
Protection, you just have to do some work for us. And then, of course...
As an actor, do you think of them as two different characters? And
I think that one of the things that I love about this is that, for me, humans are humans. We're not that different. And we like to divide the world up into them and us. And we do it, like, with between nations. We do it with, you know,
with the color of our skin, and we do it, of course, if you commit crime, you put away, well, then you definitely become them, and you're no longer us. But the thing is, they will become us again, and now we have a system where we lock people up, we kind of throw away the key, and we leave them to this crazy world where they become, I mean, 70% will reoffend and will go on to worse crime than what they were put away from, and that doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, the rehabilitation part of it doesn't really exist. Yes. And the thing is, I don't want it to be, I mean, I think if you do crime, you have to do time. There's no question about it. But it just doesn't make sense. And I mean, this country locks up more people than any other country in the world. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's just a waste of money. It's a waste of young men. Anyway, it's a long story.
Yeah, no, I mean, but on our show, we get a lot of hypothetical questions, and it's always like, would you rather do this or spend XYZ amount of time in jail? And I always take that. I would not last. I would not be any shot caller. I would not survive. I'd be
like,
done.
For this guy, he comes in. He is not a criminal. He comes into this world the first night. Which of course is on purpose, but the first night he sees another rookie inmate raped. Now we see that's like changes. He's like, oh, that's not gonna happen to me.
Right.
I'll do whatever it takes. Not gonna happen to me. And then when you said, okay, you want protection, we can give you protection. You just have to do some work for us. And then of course, 10 years later, he's still there. And but you know, you said Jamie Lannister. There is actually one, because I was been asked this question. Is there anything? You know, do they have anything in common? I'm like, no, they don't have anything in common. But actually, they do have one thing in common with these two characters. They'll both do anything for their family. And that's one of the things in the movie with Shackle is that even though he becomes this, you know, he does heinous things and he becomes a hardened criminal, he's still very much motivated by protecting his family.
How do you put that kernel of humanism in the middle of your character?
That was the challenge. I mean, one thing is, you know, the physical thing, you know what to do. You go to the gym, you eat a lot of protein, you just have to bulk up. That's an easy thing. You just have to do the time. But for the other stuff, we had a lot of discussion. Because it's important that when you get the close-up and you look into his eyes, that you still recognize him. It's still, right. You can still see Jacob. Mm-hmm. And I think... you know, Rick, the director, he accomplished that.
Yeah, and there was a very, like, subtle performance. Like, it was a very quiet rage, I thought, to the character.
Yeah.
And it also reminded me of Jamie, because Jamie, at the beginning of Game of Thrones, was this, like, flamboyant guy who always had one-liners. And now he's, like, a much more quiet, like, he says more while speaking less words type thing. And I thought you did such a great job with that in the movie. So I was just wondering how you get across that subtle performance.
Well, I also think it's about learning. He learns how to survive. And I think, you know, early on in Shot Caller, you see the first time he has to be really violent.
Yeah.
And he's so scared, you know, when he has to stab a guy. And it's scary and it changes him forever. There's like, it's one of those moments of not going back. Once you do that, you're just a different person. And it's emotionally very big. And then you see later on a similar situation where he has to do something very violent, and he is like, it's just business. That's so scary.
Right. A lot of violence for you at work these days.
There's a lot of violence here, yes, for sure.
So
a lot of blood.
Thrones, I think, has reached this point where it's like a cultural phenomenon. I almost think it's reached a level of like a sporting event at this point for guys like us.
I got the call to come and do a cameo on The Simpsons, I was like, all right, that's it.
That's when you know.
Mic drop, I'll just retire now. This is it.
So this leak was the big news of the week. HBO Spain posted this episode early.
No. What's funny is HBO Spain, HBO Nordic. It's the same thing. And what's unbelievable is that they did it last year as well.
It's like, clean your shit up, guys. What's going on here?
I don't know. What's
going on in HBO Nordic? And so now it's like, I haven't watched it yet. These guys have watched it. We got to worry about spoilers.
Yeah.
The world went into a fucking frenzy because this episode dropped a few days early.
Yeah.
Are you still... Like, can you even believe that? Like, I feel. Are you weirded out at all by how crazy fans have gotten?
Yeah, it surprises me. And then like, in every season we've gone, okay, in this season it's not gonna be as big. I mean, surely it's gonna be a moment when, you know, it's reached the highest point.
I don't know about that, pal.
And it's still.
I think that's going to the final episode.
It's still growing, and even last week, because it leaked twice, you know, last week as well. It still grew in ratings, which didn't make sense. I think a lot of people will go in and check out if they have time. You know, they will go and and see online. But they will also watch it together with friends on Sunday night.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's.
I watched last week. It was like Sunday morning. Sunday night, I still watched again.
Well, there you go. Well, there you go. And I mean, it is what it is. What can you do? I mean, the thing is, it's been the most pirated show every year it's been on.
Yeah.
You know, you can say it's they lose revenue. There's no question about it. But still, it's not the worst publicity.
No, not at all. That's a good place to be. You know, when people are pirating your stuff more than any other show, that's a very good
exactly.
sign. You just got some big news in the latest episodes.
It's so exciting. He's going to be a dad again.
Congratulations.
So happy. Oh, he's going to be a daddy. Are you sure about that? Because I've had some experience with like the fake pregnancy thing. I'll tell you what, I don't believe that lady.
John has a penchant for the crazy folks, for the crazy girls.
Yeah, so you and I have something in common.
And so he sees right through Cersei on this one.
Have you had that moment? Seriously?
I've had that moment a couple of times.
A couple of times?
Yeah, a handful of times.
Where you believed it?
I believed it the first time, but it's one of those
so that
fool
was,
me once.
How old were you? How old were you the first time?
18.
So the girl comes and says, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, well, I tried to break up with her, and she's like, I'm pregnant. And I was like, oh, what the fuck?
Wow. Well, I had a darker version of that. Like,
boy.
Really, I mean, but it's not funny, but it is funny. I broke up with a girl. I was 15. I was such a kid. And then I get a call from her friend saying, you know what happened to Tina? I said, what? She tried to kill herself. Because
he's done that too?
And I'm like, seriously, I got so freaked out because I believed it. For 2 years, I was so afraid of girls because I thought they were going to break. They couldn't deal with like anything.
They couldn't handle Nikolai.
No, but I mean, then I meet like 3 years later, I meet a guy and he's just started school and we were 18 or 17 and he's like, oh, yeah, and then there's this crazy girl. She pretended she was blind for 3 weeks. I was like,
they'll say anything.
It was the same girl. So I called her out, and she's like, no, I never pretended to kill myself. Yes, you did. I still have the letter.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a drop in the bucket compared to what's going on sex-wise with your character in this show. Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. As an actor.
Yes.
When you have to do a scene with Cena, with us, Cersei.
With Cena, with Cersei.
Are you thinking in your head this is an incest scene? No. Or are you just doing it like a regular sex scene?
Oh, I'm not sick, no.
You do incest for six seasons. I don't know. Things happen.
No, I could never. I have two sisters. That's one of those things where people say, well, you just have to use your own experience. No. I'm not using. No, this is a woman he's in love with.
Right.
That he shouldn't be in love with. Fair enough. But that whole. That part of it, the equation, is not entering my mind at all.
Do you have any like guilt about how the show is normalizing incest? Because like now I'm rooting for John and Danny to hook up, and like they're cousins, but or my uncle or our nephew. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
and, like,
no.
That's a tough moment where you're like, come on, you family members, fuck already.
Just do it.
We all want to see it. You want to do it? Just go.
No, but if it happens, you know everyone's gonna go, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. That's what your show has done. That's what you guys are responsible. For that.
But
the
it's
whole world
funny,
is
though.
Cheering for incest.
It's funny though. It's I mean, I think it's hey, it's not it's a show. It's a television show. As long as we have dragons, we're fine.
Do you think Jaime sees Cersei for who she is? Like you mentioned that to him, it's just a woman he's in love with.
Because
that's the biggest fan debate around the show is if Jaime's blind to it or does he just know better than anyone and he really doesn't care?
I think it's complicated. You've been together with someone for so long. He's also seen all the good moments, right?
Right.
I mean, I think
seen a lot of good moments.
And also, you have to realize that it's not just when she did that crazy thing last season. She blew up the set.
Yeah.
I mean, they were gonna kill her.
Yeah, she was doing what she had to survive.
She was done. I mean, that was all the enemies. She took them out. I mean, it was brutal, but it was kind of like Red Wedding style, right?
Right.
Like Dad would have done it. Now, the Red Wedding was horrific. Well, we could also argue, Tywin just saved 10,000, the lives of 10,000 soldiers or something. But it's not right.
That was a question, actually. So that's, I think, the biggest difference between Jaime and Cersei is Cersei at her core is a survivor, but Jaime in many ways isn't. And the way, like, what's been the seminal moment of the season so far of Jaime charging Danny with the spear, in your eyes in that moment, it looked like it was a suicide mission.
Yeah.
Which had me question, was he doing that for Cersei to win her the war? Was he doing that to save 10,000 men like Tywin did? Was he doing it to restore some honor after shedding this Kingslayer label?
Well,
like,
I think,
I'm just fascinated by that motivation.
I think that, you know, obviously it's a television show. We all root for Dany and for the Starks and all that.
I'm Team Cersei.
I'm Team Lannister,
But if you are a Lannister, this is your home.
Yeah.
She just invaded with a whole army of,
yeah.
I mean, that,
yeah.
that's like not, that's, you're going to defend yourself. Right. He had a moment. He saw, like, this was like, you know, Hail Mary. If I do this, I'm going to end the war. I'm going to die, but I'll do the right thing.
So he had no intention of surviving in that moment.
I think
it was
he had 100%. The only intention was to end the war. If he had a shot, he's going to take it.
Who are you rooting for?
I'm rooting for Lannisters.
Yeah, right? You got to rep for your own people.
What if, like, on set one day, the director was just like, you know what? We're doing real war. Everyone stab each other. who wins? Like, who gets the throne in that case?
I'm just going to go, Half-Thor. Half-Thor, get over here. The mountain, he's big. I mean, I'll just be behind him.
Yeah, I mean, all right, let's take the mountain out of it. The mountain
sounds fine, yeah.
Who, I mean, like, Kit Harington, come on.
Like, who?
You're going to dominate him.
Yeah, but can I just take off my golden hand and use my right?
Yeah, it's real life.
Oh, yeah.
And Danny doesn't get dragons.
No. Hey, come on. And then, well, who's going to, that's easy.
So you take
And then I'll reenlist the Rory on my side. You know, he's big, the Hound.
Yeah.
He was used to be Lannister, so we'll get
to
take him.
Yeah,
then we're fine. No worries.
Is there a character besides your own you're very emotionally invested in? Like, is there a obviously you have to say your favorite character is Jaime Lannister. Do you have a favorite character, or are you just too close to it?
Well, it's funny because I really like, I think all of us like Tyrion Lannister, the, you know, Peter Dinklage, and it's funny because he's just messed up everything, right?
Yeah, you know,
everything is just not going the way it should.
Right.
But he has, you know, he's clearly a good guy. It's funny, you say he's a good guy. And because I talked to some people about this, because everyone says, yeah, it was a good thing he killed his dad. Now, obviously, Jamie doesn't agree. But everyone seems to forget that, what about that innocent girl he
killed
Shay?
Mm-hmm.
Did she deserve to die?
Well, she was going to kill him, though. She picked up a knife to stab him, to be fair.
Yeah, well, she was a little scared of her for a life, but he didn't have to kill her. He choked the...
I mean, everybody in that show, good, is a very relative term.
It's a very relative term, but that's what we love about it, right?
Yeah, right.
Because you keep questioning your allegiances all the time.
Were you into this kind of stuff? Like,
not at all.
In the fantasy world
type of
genre?
That's not true. I mean, but I've never... I love great stories, mm-hmm. and I think that if a story is great, it's great. I don't care about the genre. I didn't know George Martin before this, but now, of course, I've read some of the books, the first few two books, but it's just an amazing. I mean, I have so much. I mean, the J.K. Rowling or Tolkien, I'm just so impressed with how they create these worlds and how do they do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so vast and there's so much information.
Not only how do you create the worlds, but how do you do, like, how do you come up with some of these scenes and these deaths and these scenarios? I mean, George R. R. Martin's a little crazy in the head, right? I mean, you can't
little.
Be normal.
He's out of his fucking mind.
Yeah,
it's
a normal person
to write this
shit.
Where you do that, those crazy scenes, and there's still a logic in there.
Yes.
Because we can all come up with, like, oh, wouldn't it be great if he just did that and the crazy, and then the dragon came. But it actually, there's a deeper logic, and that's very impressive.
The fans, like,
yes.
We touched on it earlier, like having to do, I don't know, like a Comic-Con thing or some of these, like, I mean, they're probably the most hardcore genre of fans.
Yeah, they're getting to like the Star Wars level.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just a casual, like, oh, that's my show. It's like living and dying with the books and the fan theories and you guys as people and actors.
We say that all being one of
them.
Yeah,
we're pretty much there. Are you ever kind of like... Get away! Enough! Enough of the Game of Thrones.
No, I love it. I think it's great. I mean, but also, to be honest, I think that most people, 99% of even hardcore fans, they still have a sense of humor about it. Now there are the crazy ones that I did a tweet the other day when I was like, because there was the trailer for episode 5 was Danny saying, "I'm not here to kill you." But if you don't bend the knee, I will. burn you alive. And you're going to go, that doesn't seem like much of a choice. He's being a little insincere here. Yeah. And then you're like, no, you know what? She's not insincere. You know, you don't know anything. No. And I'll go, well, it was just being, trying to be funny. It's like, you know, but so there are, there's that, you know, the very.
Do you ever just want to write back on Twitter, like, shut the fuck up?
I do, but I don't.
Yeah. I just let it rip. Just, before the series ends, please, one time, just be like, shut the fuck up, nerds. Yeah.
No.
Send out a spoiler before the finale. Just be like, this is how it ends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, ruin it. How much do you know?
I only know this season. I mean,
liar. What a fucking liar.
I can't.
Who do you think's going to win?
I don't. I think clearly that, I mean, that's the one thing that, because I don't, seriously, I don't know. But I find the whole thing about the beginning when I push Bran out the window and Bran becoming this three-eyed raven and clearly has all this knowledge. That, I mean, did he know was did the three-eyed raven make Bran climb up there? Was that a? I mean, that's like, I find that's really interesting and weird.
Yeah,
and
I mean, destination and all that. You think about because how much spiraled from that moment.
Right.
Like,
I mean, that started the war.
That started the
whole thing. If you guys just weren't banging in that tower and that guy didn't climb up, none of this happens. And we're all good.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I know, but what a great show, though, right?
Yeah, it's the best. Well, it's even like I said, everybody roots for Daenerys, so my father was devastated when they lost that battle, and he was just like, I just wanted her to win. I'm like, if she wins, the show's over. Like, you want her to lose. You want it
I'm not letting you off, this hook, off the hook. Who's winning? Who's going to sit on the Iron Throne?
Okay, well, I hope, I don't know, man. I hope it's going to be Tyrion. I hope
you
would
think,
but it doesn't make sense.
I'll tell you what makes sense is the fucking Night King. Okay, no one's beating the White Walkers.
You're absolutely.
I mean,
right.
If we're being real about it, no one's beating them.
Right, you're right, but there must be a way.
I mean,
you
know
how
Byron
it is. I can see it.
I know you're
right
such
now.
A liar. You're such a liar.
Tell you.
It's unbelievable.
Would you consider yourself? Is it easy to be a fan of the show? Like while you're in it, like
you
is that even possible?
Like, you sit down on like Sunday night and watch it.
You sit down and watch it.
I watch it. Yeah, I do. And now I've come to the point where I've become more of a fan if that than I used to be. Just you know, I'm on the show and, but now I'm. I just want to find out what's going to happen.
Me too! Let's go! Yeah. Like, you guys are taking these like 18-month breaks in between and stuff. Come on, let's go.
The biggest fear of like going out in season 6 or something like would be, oh, I'm not going to find out. There's something really nice about knowing something that no one else
knows. Oh, it's the best feeling in the world.
It's
the
so
best.
Nice.
Watching a show
I can't believe
that
you haven't like spoiled it. Like I would have like a couple glasses of wine one night and be like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm gonna start.
That's the thing. That's why Dan and David, the writers, they're so good at not telling us.
But you know
so
the end of the season. What I would do if I was you, I would tweet out like three things and I'd be like, one of these is true. it's up to you to find out.
Yeah.
You know, Tyrion rides a dragon and Cersei becomes a Nightwalker or whatever. One of these is true. I don't know.
That's a good idea.
This might be too big of a question, but now that you've been on the most popular show maybe in television history, without being gross bad, you don't have to worry about money anymore. You're incredibly famous now. You can pretty much do whatever you want with your career
that
at this point. Theoretically. So at this point, like, do you have a certain direction of like what your dream roles are? Do you want to be a movie star? Do you want to like maintain a relationship with HBO, artistic projects, or sort of all the above? Or
God, that's a big question.
I guess that's a big question. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'll take it one step at a time. I want to. I have a couple of projects that I hope that we can get going, and that's and then we'll finish this monster, and then we'll move on to the next one. But I don't think I'll be on a long running television show for a while because
it's a bear, right?
Right.
Well, no, it's great, but also it. How do you compete with this? It had to, I mean, I can see like a but this, I don't want to do something similar to this because I don't think anyone,
you'll never beat it.
No,
dude,
not.
If I'm you, I'm gonna go do some rom-coms. Yeah, I'm like finding like a easy role, hook up with some pretty girls, whatever, man.
Well, you were just named as an ambassador for UNDP, right?
Yes, exactly. Been there for
you
a
know
year.
You're a dick, right? Like, you can't be like handsome and like famous and
I'm saving the world, man. Okay,
a good person. Like, come on,
you're laying it on a little thick, pal.
Oh, I'm
like, an overachiever.
Like, you play an instrument too, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
But like a cooler instrument, right?
Yeah, like you look like you play guitar.
You shred.
I bet you walk into like a restaurant and you're like, I'll take the piano.
Let me take the piano.
Yeah, I wish for a second.
Listen, no, I don't. I don't sing. I was on this James Corden the other night, and my daughters found out that I was going on, and they said, "Don't do it, Dad. You cannot sing."
Oh, you did the carpool
karaoke? No, I didn't do it. No, I just did the talk. I said, "Don't worry, I'm not gonna sing." I did embarrass them though, but not by singing.
Naturally,
yeah.
When your dad's the Kingslayer, I mean, that's a pretty good place to be. I think they can deal with a little bit of embarrassment.
Yeah, yeah.
Luckily, they're doing better than your fictional children, so that's, you know, that's a good...
Oh, God, that was dark.
Immediately regret that
one. So your real kids are not dead yet. No. No, and I'm 8,000 miles away from them, and I'm getting really depressed now.
Great. You know, they say, don't meet your heroes. Don't joke about their kids dying either. That's the last one I just learned the hard way. Well...
All right, man. Well, listen, I mean, it's a worldwide phenomenon at this point. Your character has been one of the most fascinating parts of it all. Watching, you're probably the most like dynamic character in a way.
By the way, can I just compliment on your T-shirt, because people can't see that in the radio?
This is one of the shirts we had on sale. We got another shirt for you as well. I think we brought one. It's called "Sundays Are for Westeros." Is kind of our theme at the over here at the website. So we got a shirt for you. It's. But yeah, I mean, the whole our website, all of our fans, and basically the whole fucking world at this point is a Game of Thrones fan. So, good on you. And the new project, Shotcaller, is unbelievable.
Thank you.
I recommend everybody go check that out as well. It's the Kingslayer, everybody.
It's Barstool Radio.
Barstool Radio. It's a Friday. It's August the 19th, and we have the A-Team in here today. My friends from 4Play, we got Riggs. And Trent, we also have my little brother, who's
the most
in town.
Special guest.
My little brother is in town. Came in from North Carolina. He's sitting in today. He's shadowing his big bro, so he's sitting in the radio room today. And it's me, K.L. Presley. We're holding it down, Barstool Radio today. It's a Friday. We're gonna. It seems like the rest of the office has mailed it in.
It's the 18th. So shout out to Frankie or whoever drew up the sheet for being just wrong on the date. So we're really rolling here on this Friday.
Radio Brent's having himself one hell of a.
Let's go. We're buzzing. We got Dave's been on vacation for like a month. Yeah, Kevin's house is flooded again.
Potentially.
We've got like 11 of our coworkers are shooting some music video or something crazy.
And then three other ones just decide not to come in.
Yep. So it's the squad. We're holding it down.
Frankie, who else we got?
Yeah, let's keep it rolling. We have Tanner. Looks like he needs some life advice.
Uh-oh. Tanner, what's up, man?
Hello!
Hello! This is our old drive time guy, Tanner.
All right, what up, cool. Tanner?
So I just got fired like an hour ago.
Oh, damn.
Very peaceful breakup.
Oh, damn.
So I just wondered what are some things I should be doing now? I was going to go see a Broadway show by myself. It looked like fun. But is there anything else I should be doing?
Are you in New York?
I'm in New York, yeah.
First, I'd move because it's super expensive to live here.
It's a really good advice.
It is. I signed my lease 2 days ago.
Okay. Bad timing, my friend.
Terrible timing.
Tanner, I feel like you've got like a really kind of a sad laugh going on right now. Like you're laughing at everything because you're so sad about your current situation.
Why'd you get fired, if you don't mind me asking?
No. It was like a peaceful. They were like restructuring it, and it's either I like take a new boring like clerical secretary job or I leave. So it was actually probably the nicest breakup of my life, considering girls used to either just break up with me through text or just start seeing someone else and not telling me. So
Tanner's had a real dark life. Tanner has demons.
Yeah. How old are you, Tanner?
I am just turned 25, too. So it's a great birthday gift.
Nice.
Wow. Damn. This is a sad call.
I would say my. It is
no,
a sad
really
call.
It's not a sad call. Not a sad call.
I'm drinking right now if I were you.
Not while driving, though.
No, I'm going 100 on the highway right now, so
I would slow down.
Beat Kevin to the first on-air suicide.
Listen,
Jesus Christ. I would
KFC might have beat you to the punch.
This show took a quick turn to Tanner killing himself on the highway.
I'm listening to Stan by Eminem.
Hey, Tanner, slow down and then just close your eyes and just think about where you're at and how you've got to this point in your life.
Let Jesus take the wheel, Tanner.
Take your hands off the wheel. Yeah, man.
Diving with my knee.
Yeah, so basically, bro, I would say try to get another job. Is it a hot take?
Great advice. Great advice.
Do you have skills? Do you have applicable skills?
Yeah, I would say so. I'm a guy's guy. I'm good with numbers, you know?
A guy's guy. That takes you far, too.
Oh, Tanner.
You should... look where you're the you guys are the nicest guys of them all, and you're doing great.
You should move to Vegas and try to be a professional poker player.
Ooh, I used to be pretty good at poker in like third grade.
There you go. You probably won a couple of those like little six-man tournaments with your buddies back in the Moneymaker era, so I think you got to do that, dude.
Or just, this is what you should do, honestly. I've always thought about this. If something happened to this job here, you got to move to a very affluent area, maybe like Silicon Valley, and then you just try to surround yourself with really, really, really rich people and maybe become someone's driver or something, and then just get caught up into some... into like their lives, and basically you just get paid a lot to like drive them around.
Yeah, or document, like see how far you can get just lying. Like make up a resume, say you have all this experience that you went to these schools, and just see how deep you can get just lying. I bet you could get a pretty sick job just lying.
Yeah, I was thinking of that because nobody really backs up the sources or anything. You just make up anything nowadays.
And somebody might, but if you're applying in enough places, I bet you, I mean, you could probably get a pretty legit job.
You could write
lying.
A pretty good book off that, too.
Yeah, it's document the whole thing.
That's the beauty of there being so many people is if it doesn't work in one place, you just go walk down the road and you try it again somewhere else. And you lie and you lie and you lie.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, rap attack, Mr.
What's up? And this is Friday afternoon on Barstool Radio. And you know what that means. I'm Caleb Presley. I'm here with Riggs and Trent. And this segment is called Pepper and Pete, where we pepper all business Pete with questions about his personal life. Pete, what's happening, my friend?
Hello. Not much is happening. I just got back into the building, was out shooting a music video.
You were the stuffy teacher in the video, yes?
Stuffy seems, not very generous. I thought I was a good teacher, inspiring young minds.
Pete, do you think you were properly cast as kind of the dorky substitute teacher?
Again, I don't know. Why am I a substitute? Why am I a dork?
Hey, Pete, have you just been method acting for the entire time we've known you, and that's why you seem like such a dork?
You should talk to the guys when we get back, but they would tell you that I slipped into that role like a fine leather glove.
What do you think about the rumors of you being a Nazi?
Is that out there?
There's some photoshops of you holding tiki torches.
Right, that was unfortunate.
Do you think that was a poor decision to present yourself like you're holding a tiki torch?
No, because I had a point to make, which is that I wouldn't look good holding it. You know, it would be ridiculous holding a tiki torch.
Do you regret circumcising your child without his permission?
No, I don't. No one wants, and we've been over this, but nobody wants to be weird dick kid.
Why?
That's true. That's true.
Thank you.
That's true.
Why have you stopped doing the weekly violation sheet?
It's called Handbook Violations. Thank you. And they actually require a lot of effort.
Is this the first time that you've had a hard time persevering through periods of life that require a hard effort? Sorry.
Hardship.
That was tough on my part. That was not my best sentence.
You persevered right through that.
It wasn't my best. That's not my best run at it. But back to you.
Yeah. So the real issue is that I actually have like a real job, you know, where I have to get things done, and so sometimes I can't sit around and write up fake funny handbook violations because I'm actually like building things or planning shows. Starting Nine debuts on Monday, 11 p.m. Very excited for that.
What's your favorite piece of original programming at Barstool Sports?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't really watch a lot of it. Maybe stool scenes?
Does your collar ever chafe your neck?
No.
Do you ever feel like you're too buttoned up?
No. I always leave the top one undone.
Do you think you look like a dork with your shirt tucked in today?
No, I think people... I walked in my teacher outfit, which is a slight upgrade over my normal outfit.
It's the exact same outfit.
It's a slight upgrade. And,
I mean, your shirt's just tucked in. That's the only.
No, I'm wearing pants. I'm wearing nice brown shoes. And
Pete does usually have exposed legs.
Yep, always wear shorts in the summer. And people, I think, were like, "Whoa!" Like, basically, is he coming to run this place? Is he coming to take over?
Many people asked you if you were interviewing people today.
Yep, they thought that I was doing very important things.
Pete, what's your take on abortion?
that's a hot button issue, isn't it?
Pepper.
settle down, Frankie. It's a tough choice, but a choice nonetheless.
Now, Pete, you came in earlier and you made a very strong declaration about how you clean your legs.
Yeah, with soap in my hand, and I wash them.
Oh. Every time you shower?
Every single time. I take my loofah, which is all rubbed up and producing soap suds, and I put it on my leg, and I wash my legs.
You go all the way down.
I go down and I do to the bottom of my feet, and then I go like this as I wrap it around the bottom of my feet and do all the bottom of my feet.
Wow.
Now, Pete, do you use the loofah to kind of wipe your butt situation too? Clean your butt situation?
Are you putting feces on your leg?
I'm not putting feces on my legs.
So you don't use the loofah to
Get it.
So you don't wash your butt.
I don't get it. The loofah really inside. I do that separately.
With what?
Your
hand, and then you wash your face.
No, my face is done first. The butt needs to be the last thing that you do.
Okay,
that's a pro tip out there.
Peter, are we on a pretty hot streak right now about not losing internet? I feel like it's been a long time.
Don't you jinx it, Riggsy. Just kidding. It's fixed.
What happened, Tower 7?
The first thing Pete said when he walked in, he's like, I'm nervous to talk to Caleb because I haven't done enough Tower 7 research.
It got knocked down by the debris, right?
We're asking you, Peter.
I think it had to be condemned because it was basically fatally damaged by the debris of the other tower, falling towers. Is that not accurate?
This is not Pepper and Presley. This is Pepper and Peter.
Okay. I've answered it. So fire away.
My little brother's starting high school next week. What advice would you give him?
Don't be like the dopes that were just at the music video shoot we were doing at the school. Be nice to your teachers. Be respectful. They're trying to help you. Put your phone down. Why is that funny?
He's laughing in my face. Yes.
That's disrespectful.
Yeah. That's my advice.
Don't
your teachers are your friends.
That's a weird one.
What?
Your teachers are your friends?
You weren't friends with your teachers?
No.
Oh.
I view them as authoritative figures.
Yeah, but they're trying to help you.
Peter, hot dogs or legs?
Hot dogs or legs? Legs.
That big you legs wash. Guy, huh?
Over hot dogs.
And that was Pepper and Peter, your new Friday segment every Friday at 1:30, sponsored by Circle K. Okay, we'll see you after the break. Magazine, salt and pepper and heavy D up in the limousine. Yo, that's Barstool Radio. It's been a Friday. Everybody have a good weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
Later. Later, Gators.
Bye-bye now.
Hey, everybody. This is Spike Ferriston from Spike's Car Radio. We're out here in the porch of at the Malibu Kitchen at the Malibu Country Mart every weekend doing podcasts. My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. We're going to have Jeremy Piven. We're going to have Chris Hardwick. See you soon on Spike's Car Radio.
I think he's over-projecting for a podcast.
And I love to over-project for podcasts. Join me every week at podcast1.com and Apple Podcasts.